United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! it fell in love as the leaves turn brown. And we could be together, baby, long as skies are blue. You act so innocent now, but you lied so soon. When I met you in the summer,
I leave Sticks at home alone. I only leave him home alone for like 5 minutes. And he cues up the music.
The wrong music.
Do I get? What was that?
I have no idea what that was. I was looking for that song, Summer, Summertime is Here. Summer, my time of year. See, that's why I like my side of the table better, because I can preview stuff. I don't know how to preview stuff on your side of the table.
Yes, you do. I give you, you cue up the music. So listen, this, you cue up the music and this is what you get. You know, I get, you know, I come back with something.
The advertisement.
Well, no, that's something different. Let's see the difference. Tap your foot. Summertime. Sis. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Let me go find this person. He even left the building. I don't even know where he is.
Yeah, well, don't bring him back because I didn't like
him. I have to bring him back.
No.
I have to bring because that's going to be the theme song for the day.
What's that?
Hold on.
Not the one that I pulled up?
Absolutely. That's going to be the theme song for the day.
Oh, please, no.
Absolutely. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229.
Couldn't ask for a better morning.
A better morning?
Oh, it's a beautiful day. 60 degrees, sunshiny. There's not a cloud in the sky. How many days in Northeast Ohio do we get a not a cloud in the sky?
We've had a couple this week.
And then we got downpours in the afternoon.
I don't mind. A little rain won't kill you.
No, it's killing the cornfield across the street.
Well, that's across the street, but I mean, that means it's not irrigated properly. They don't have good drainage properly.
Killing my garden too.
It ain't killing your garden.
Yes, it is.
It ain't killing your garden. You didn't.
I'm not gonna get to bring you any sweet corn this year.
Why not?
Because it isn't growing.
Why not?
Because it's all yellow from all the rain.
Don't be messing up. You should have irrigated the garden like you're supposed to have. Had a nice little.
No,
gray.
Irrigate is adding water.
Okay,
it's well irrigated.
No, then you should have had to put it on a slope so when it rains. It has the water knows just
got,
how much. You know,
I got to do some of Dr. Mason's raised beds.
See?
Because he doesn't have a drainage problem.
No, he does not.
His garden is awesome.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. See, that's what I'm saying. You should have planned properly. You have to put
I mean,
hey, wait a minute. You got to put lattices out there.
I'm telling you.
He's not listening. Yeah. I know. He's flying. You got to put lattices. Because he lattice tracked.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see that?
I saw that. It's very, very meticulous.
He lattice tracked it and so that everything is in its proper place.
In its proper box.
In its proper box.
I mean, we're not even going to get green beans this year. I've never had a year where we couldn't grow green beans.
What do you
mean? That was a staple in our house.
We're going to have green beans. I don't eat green beans out of a can, though, just so you know.
Do you eat them out of a quart jar?
Pardon me?
Do you eat them out of a quart jar?
A quart jar? Yeah. Okay. I don't eat them out of a quart jar. I mean, canned beans?
Yeah.
Homemade
canned
beans. I'd rather have them not cooked. I'd rather cook them myself. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know... Mm-hmm. I put bacon in mine still.
Right. Well, when you can them, they get a little soft. If you cook them fresh, you can leave them a little crunchy. Paula got a steamer.
Hey, Alex is in the
chat room.
Yeah, sorry. Hey, Alex, guess what? Your mom made meatloaf. Just thought I'd tell you that. I had a chicken and turkey on Sunday. You missed it. Is that bad or what?
I don't know. So what happened to Dr. D?
Dr. D delivered a baby.
Ah, okay.
Dr. Danielle was supposed to be here with us today, and she delivered a baby in the middle of the night. I got a text from her at 3 o'clock in the morning talking about I'm not going to make it. But Dr. Hill's on his way in, from my understanding.
Oh, good.
If he's not delivering babies. Because it's the baby delivery day.
Good. Is it a full moon? Is that?
No, it was a couple days ago.
That's a wives' tale. More babies on a full moon.
I don't know. I don't know nothing.
Let's ask the doctor.
I don't know nothing about birth and no babies. I don't know nothing about birth and no babies. You got to know. I'm not here. I'm not made for that. That's a whole nother kind of person. But we're going to have fun with Dr. Hill today. It's going to be great to have him with us. And we're going to talk about, I want to talk about some things relationship-wise as well as medical-wise.
Okay.
Because there are questions that need to be asked and answered. And Dr. Hill just said he'll be here at 10.
Oh, good.
So that means I can talk about Time Warner
and Rupert
Murdoch. Uh-huh. I want to talk about that for a minute. That gives me a little time to do that.
I want to talk about the $6,000 a head a month you can get for taking in an illegal immigrant child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's an ad.
Do you have a number?
Yeah. Let me pull it up here.
You got a number? Because if you got a number, I'm going to call it. Because I need $6,000 a month. You know, I will take in a child for $6,000 a month.
Let me see. Where was this at? This is in California.
I'll sleep in my basement, let the kid have my room for $6,000 a month.
Help heal the wounds of abused and neglected children. Crittenden Foster Family Association looking for loving, compassionate parents to provide loving home for children in foster care program, including survivors of human trafficking and unaccompanied refugee minors. Reimbursement up to $6,054 a month. Tax-free support, certification. Oh, they blacked out the phone number.
Oh, come on. I need. Do you know what I could do raising one child in my house for 65? I was sitting in the Youngstown City Schools. We already have an ESL program. We could work this out.
I told Paula I'd go put a bunch of bedrooms, build a bunch of nice bedrooms in the barn, bathrooms, you know, turn it into a little apartment house and get 10 or 12. Put a nice little dining hall in the downstairs.
Whatever it takes. Listen, I'll take 4 or 5 and buy the house next door and connect it. That makes $12,000, $14,000, $24,000
a month. Absolutely.
$18,000 a month. Actually, see, 1, 2, 3, because I can put 2 in a room. There's 3 bedrooms. That's 2, 4, 6.
Well, if you attach the whole house, you can turn the whole other house into just all bedrooms.
No, because that's too many kids. I'm not going to try to abuse the kids. I like kids, you know, but I don't want babies, so we have to have – I don't want teenagers. I want that middle class.
I want
that middle row.
Like
right before they hit
– 9-year-old.
Nine, 10, 11, when they turn 13. When they turn 11, 13, they got to go.
When they hit puberty, they're gone.
But by that time, I will have made enough money, taken care of them very, very well. They live very, very large. Find me the number, Styx. Find the number. You're fired. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I cannot believe that Time Warner told Rupert Murdoch, kick rocks. We don't want you. We don't want you. You're too fat for me. Oh.
Well, you know. Did they not want his money, or they just didn't want him because of his politics?
I think it's his politics. I don't think it's his money, because it was a nice little. It was a nice buy. It was all cash almost, no finance. There's nothing like that.
Just write a check.
Somebody call me and offer what? I'm working hard. I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning.
Would you let Rupert Murdoch buy this show for $80 million?
I might even become a liberal. It'd be kind of hard for me to talk about it. But,
you can't do that.
I could try it.
I don't think you could sit behind a microphone like this for 3 hours a day and be somebody you're not.
I could try. Listen.
For $80 million, you could try a lot.
I could try. Let me tell you a story about a man named Dan.
Poor Mountain.
I could really try this. I'm going to probably be real giddy today because I'm really sleepy.
Oh. Was you up all night partying again?
I'm telling you, I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning, and I ran until 6, and then it was time to get up.
We don't have anything pressing going. Let's.
What?
Why don't you let me play this? This
no,
song.
That's
guy
not
made
the song.
This,
no.
No, this is a different song. This guy made
no.
this up. Somebody asked his daughter to marry him.
No, Sticks. This, look,
no.
This is the song.
That's good. I like that.
You're fired.
I've been fired before.
You're fired.
Okay. Bye.
You're fired.
That's what I said. I can preview stuff on this side of the table. I ain't figured out how to preview it over there yet.
You gotta ask somebody.
I'm scared to death if I touch anything over there, it's gonna go out over the air when it's not supposed to.
It's okay. It's okay. I never knew that many people did this song.
What?
Okay. Oh. Hey, good morning, Eric.
He pushed a button.
Hey, Tracy, how you doing?
I never knew Stevie Wonder and the Beatles did the song, so who wrote it?
Oh, I think the Beatles wrote it. Probably.
Now, why do you think the Beatles wrote it?
Because they were the first ones to do it.
How do you know that?
How do you know?
Because they're way older than he is.
No.
Yeah.
No.
64?
Hey, Tracy.
Yeah, Stevie was a kid. He was writing then. He was doing the finger
hey,
steps.
Tracy.
Yeah, what'd you say, Eric? Yeah.
Did I hear you correctly? Did you say they're giving $6,000 a month to people who are in a house with you?
Yep, that's what I said. $6,054 a month, tax-free.
I got an extra bedroom and a bunk bed.
Process as short as 45 days.
I'm telling you, find me the number. We got to Google it. We got to find the number. Six, I need, do you understand what $6,000 does in Youngstown? We wouldn't have to work so hard. I could be a stay-at-home mom. What? You understand, Eric?
Oh, yeah, Tracy, I got one out of the house. I could take another one in.
I'm telling you, I could put four in.
Oh,
what?
This is even better. This ad was placed in the Penny Saver newspaper in Murrieta, California. That's the place where they were standing with the.
But no, why can't they come?
Oh, I got the phone number.
Okay, what's the phone number? Hold on, I got it because we got to call. Hold on, what's the number?
1-951.
951.
674.
674.
9400.
9400. Okay, here we
here's
go.
Here's another one.
No. Let's try one at a time.
No, wait a minute. Oh, here's another. No, this is the one you really need. Sorry, that's not the right one.
What's the number?
Second ad. The two ads here listed. 714.
Oh, it's too early to call California. It's only 6 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
Let's see what they say. Go ahead. 714.
680.
Oh, 714-680.
8200.
8200. Okay, you guys ready? Here we go. I'm even going to wait for a break.
Hello, you have reached Crittenton Services for Children and Families. Para instrucciones en español, oprime el uno. For our company's directory, dial 2. For our general mailbox, dial 3.
Okay, sir. Oh.
Please hold a moment.
Oh, there. And this ad was placed where?
It says in the Penny Saver, the Murrieta, California Penny Saver.
We got to wait until, like, at least 10, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's 6 o'clock in the morning there.
Hey,
okay.
That mailbox is full.
Hello, you have reached...
I wonder why. What's that number, Six? What's the
714.
714.
680.
680.
8200.
8200. Okay, that's going to be the number for the day. I'm too serious. I'm calling the number. You think I'm joking.
I started something, didn't I?
Yes, you did. I mean, you don't understand. For I'll take in four.
You know, I got two empty bedrooms.
My mom just had to move.
Three. I could take
Ma,
three.
You just got evicted. Putting her out. Need the bedroom.
On that kind of money, you could send her down to Copeland and put her in a suite. Really, you could. You could rent her one of them real nice condos down at Copeland.
And wait a minute, and take care of the kids right, too.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, that has to be a hoax. Something's wrong. Because seriously, the number – oh, you're listening to Tracy and Friends. Today is the 16th of July, 2014, and the number is 347-945-529. I'm going to take a break in a few minutes. But Sticks came up with this ad, and I liked –
but you can't – nope. What? She, you know, the article I'm reading here says that she called the number and they don't got no kids under 12.
Oh, I got to go. Sorry. We'll be right back.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Concerned about your health? Confused about the amount of prescription drugs you are taking? Wondering which vitamins to take? Call Dr. Matt Mason, board-certified wellness physician as well as a chiropractor at Mason Wellness Center. Dr. Mason combines nutritional therapy, functional medicine, and chiropractic services to keep people healthy and get those of you that are ill feeling better faster. Mason Wellness Center is located on Layer Road in Warren, Ohio. To make an appointment or to receive additional info, call our office at 330-219-6450.
Tune in at home, at work, in your car, and online to the Bally's News Talk, AM 600 WSOM.
GEICO presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, first off, I really enjoy your commercials about GEICO's app. I watch them over and over and over. They make me both laugh and very hungry. Weird. Anyway, I just want to let you know how GEICO's new claim status updates on the app really blow me away. Getting those updates makes me think of you. I'd like to thank you in person. Just send me your address. All the best, Big Bad W. Sure thing, Big Bad W. I got a pen. It's 802, not gonna happen lane.
Claim status updates, just a tap away on the GEICO app.
Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years' experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
Listen to News Talk 600 Saturdays at noon for On Earth as It Is in Heaven and Father Andrew, pastor of St. Michael's Orthodox Church. Saturdays at noon on News Talk 600.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Of what you're saying, you can get it wrong and still think that it's alright. Think of what I'm saying, we can work it out and get it straight or say goodnight. We can work it out, we can work it out. Life is
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. What is Bill saying? Bill said that $6,000.
$6,000.
In California.
In California, $200 and all the dog food you can get in Northeast Ohio.
Absolutely. You know, they call. I mean, I wonder if that's $6,000 here. No, seriously, would you do that?
$6,000? I'd like to know what their vetting process is first. Because if they're the article I read said they were only, that was for over 12-year-olds.
Okay.
And you got a lot of MS-13, a lot of gang members coming up. So, how do you know how do you know you're putting your family in a safe situation?
Because I sleep with a gun underneath my bed.
Well, yeah, I do too. But I'd really rather not discharge a firearm inside my home.
For $6,500 a month, I can patch that back up again. Eric, would you seriously consider that? He's gone. I would really consider that, especially if it was a young lady. I wouldn't want a male in my house. I wouldn't want a bunch of teenage males.
Yeah, but girls can be just as tough as boys.
And we would have to find the parameters because I will kill you.
That's true.
I mean, and nothing personal. I mean, I treat you like my own. But, you know, we have a decorum of respect in our home that you must comply with. But
do you realize the dynamics of this?
But my question is, foster care, you don't get that much. So what's the difference?
I don't know. But, I mean, and you got to look at, I mean, you're taking kids in that don't even speak the same language as you. I mean, how do you communicate?
Easily. Yes and no. And I got enough Spanish. I got enough. See? No. And by the time they learn English, I'll learn Spanish. Not a problem. Oh, yeah. Horseback riding and all.
Oh, for that kind of money?
Oh,
yeah.
To the point.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, foster children don't get that kind of money. That can't be right. That can't be right. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm sitting here with Sticks, and we're doing an open mic between now and 10. I think Dr. Hill's coming in. I got some questions for Dr. Hill today.
Me too.
Uh-oh.
Where do babies come from?
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good question. I got embarrassing. I have embarrassing questions for Dr. Hill today.
Okay, that's an old hillbilly joke.
What? Where do babies come
after
from?
After the 15th kid, they quit showing up at the
hospital.
The hospital, and the doctor called him and asked him why, and the old man says, "We finally figured out what was causing that."
Okay.
Bad joke.
Good morning, Alabama. How are you? They're not here.
What's going on? How you doing?
How you doing, darling?
I'm doing good. I was just going back and forth with Diva on Facebook about the reporter that got suspended for going into the dynamics of black families and why crime, you know, in the black family, you know, the black community, when, you know, this guy killed a cop, and when the police showed up, you know what they did to him. They put a hole in him. And the guy was like, the reporter was basically like saying, well, this is because they don't have fathers in their homes, this anti-cop, this and that, you know. And I think the two are different. I do. I think to a certain extent crime does a lot of time have that dynamic, but I do think as white Americans don't understand, you know, the fear as being, especially being a black male, when you get around police. I mean, when you get a traffic stop, how you need to have your hands, how you need to, you know, I've seen white people get stopped and cuss cops out. We can't do that. You can't, you know, you just can't do that. So there's a difference. I mean, it's just, you know, when you're African-American male and you're dealing with the police, you know, they ready to kill you as soon as they can.
No,
my
no,
friend
no,
just
that's
got
not,
stopped last
whole,
week.
No, Alabama, that's not true. Listen, one thing I'm not going to let you do, I'm not going to let you broaden the whole brush on everybody for 20% of the population of a police force. So all 80% of the police, I mean, You've got some bad cops out there, and that's in everything. Just like you got some bad black folks out there. But that's real. But everybody that's a cop ain't bad. Is that true? Or are you trying to tell me just because they got a uniform, they just bad,
no,
just because they white
Tracy,
the cops?
I'm going to tell you what happens most of the time with cops. Cops stop, right? They stop you. They pull you over. The 20% that get in trouble are the 20% that don't think and say, you know what, I'm going to say something back. He has no right to talk to me like this. But the other 80% get talked to like a dog and just know, you know what, I don't need to say that. I'm going to just
but
let it
again,
go.
But again, but listen.
Because every black man, I bet you every black man that call your show will agree that they'd have been picked on. Cops do that. That's what they do.
Listen, but not all cops are bad. And we need to quit telling our kids all cops are bad, but we need to tell them to respect the cops when they stop them. That's the
but
bottom line.
But they don't need
line.
To respect us. But they're
no,
they not going to respect
no,
us.
No, respect deems respect. If I respect you, you're going to give me respect. And if you don't, I'm
no.
going to fight you when I get done.
That's not a
Absolutely.
Cop.
Absolutely.
That's not a that, – look, cops
– Absolutely.
Look, I've had cops pull me over, scream at me, talk to me, call me all types of names, pull his gun out his holster, and I didn't do nothing.
Probably because you wouldn't be quiet.
Me, it ain't that I wouldn't be quiet. It was
listen,
just basic
all,
hello.
Listen, all you had to do was put your hands on a 10 and 2. When he asked you for your ID, give it to him and say, officer, what are you stopping me for? If he cusses you out, that's on him. But the problem that we have is we as a people don't teach how to respect ourselves. There is a way that I have to respect myself. And even if the cop is wrong, I can't fight the cop when he pulls me over, white and or black. That's just real. Cussing him out is not going to get me no brownie points. That's just real. And, yes, there's discrimination, and but all cops aren't bad. That when there's a massive shootout, even your worst criminal going to call 911 and ask for the cops to back him up. Now, well, we got some bad ones out there. We got some real bad ones out there all over the country. They profile. They don't have respect for black people across the board. But then we got some good ones out there. They put their life on the line for us, too. And we paint them with a broad brush. We're all bad because I'm black. Everything ain't because we black. And, yes, I know most black men have been harassed by the police. Absolutely. And it's been from bad training. But because we don't grow up and become cops and change the paradigm and change the methodology, we get what we get. Good morning, Diva.
Morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm feeling all right.
You feeling better than you did?
Yeah. I'm just, I think the purpose of Alabama bringing that subject up was not really to point out good cop, bad cop, but was to point out what happened as far as the ignorance when it comes to some people in the non-color community, especially those who are not in what we consider the hood. The reporter made it seem as if the anti-cop sentiment we feel is because our young men are growing up without fathers. He got suspended for what he was saying, which, and he says he won't be back, which I think, no, you don't need to be back because your ignorance and making a broad statement and saying that's why, but yet the media or no reporter will want to put that out there, but you're putting your opinion based on ignorance out there on the air as if it was fact. And that was the real crux of that story, not anti-cop, bad cop. I mean, the experience that I had with the police officer in Liberty when I was in Youngstown, when I was there a couple of weeks ago, put a bad taste in my mouth. And I don't get smart just to get smart, but I'm not going to allow you to talk to me any kind of way. But I do know that I can talk to you this way, how I'm talking now and still be putting you in your place.
But my question is, this is crazy.
This is another dog I miss moment, Tracy. Nothing's going to happen. If he was me, he'll get fired. He'll get picked up in a heartbeat by some other station.
That's the thing that makes me so upset about black people. You say stuff like that as if it doesn't matter.
I'm not saying, Diva, that's what's going to happen. I'm not saying that it doesn't matter. I'm just telling you the reality of the situation. He's going to get his own show when it's all said and done.
Why?
And because we have not learned how to fight City Hall. But like I said, right now, when I look at what's going on in the police force right here in the Mahoning Valley, we have more people coming off the force that are of African-American descent than we have going on. So right now, and as far as people matriculating up the ladder and the management is going away.
Why is that?
Because we're not becoming police officers.
And why is that?
Don't want to. It doesn't make any money. We don't want to become it. Hold on, Diva. A lot has to do with the testing. Because you have to realize if you're raised in a home with firefighters and with police officers, you have more privy knowledge to what goes on in the testing of it.
Right.
So that does make a difference. But let me say this. We don't have, when you look at the workforce, we're not going into law enforcement like that. And so if you're not going into law enforcement like that, then you don't have anyone to fill the shoes of the people who are retiring.
Now let me ask you this because I don't. Does Youngstown have its own police academy?
I believe so.
Okay. Because I know a lot of other cities, normally they'll go to some kind of schooling, then they'll start out in a township police force and then work their way up into a city police force. You know, township to small town, back up into city. But if the city has its own, then you take. Then they bring them in and start them from scratch.
But what I'm saying,
you know, grow your own.
But what I'm saying is, even you can go to any other school. You do not have to go through the academy before you go to Youngstown City School. I'm sorry, Youngstown Police Department.
Okay, I thought that's what I was asking.
No.
Okay.
But I will say this: we don't have a lot of African Americans that are even testing. It's very limited. And then by the time you get done testing with civil service, and you can no longer have two lists.
What do you mean two lists?
There used to be a list where you had a minority and female list, and then you had a white male list.
Okay.
So that when you hired, you could balance it out some.
I see.
And because of what happened in Connecticut, they stopped that.
But
even with the state troopers. Pardon me?
What happened in Connecticut?
They were sued for discrimination because a white fireman said that he deserved to get the job over an African American, and he didn't get it. And so it went to the Supreme Court, and they were sued, and they won.
Okay, so it had to be based on raw test score.
Right.
That's been 10 years ago.
No, about five.
Okay, so can I ask you a question?
Well, wait a minute. Let me finish what I was saying.
Okay.
So what's happening is, if you don't have people of diversity in your management, you're never going to get that which you need in your community.
And I can say, Tracy, that does make a difference because, I mean, in Warren, there are several black cops, and I've been pulled over by a few of them, and they probably should have wrote me a ticket, and they let me go.
I mean, you know, you've got Cole over there now. I mean, you've got Riggs over there, Gary Riggs over there now. I mean, you got some people going over there now, and then they have their own set of problems over in any police department, their own set of politics. But we're not sitting at, again, I keep on going back to this table thing. We're not sitting at the table to change things. I'm not going to paint all officers of one color all bad. And do we have some bad ones out there? Absolutely. But I've seen a whole lot of them take care of me and others that look like me in our stupidity. Let alone when we were right. Go ahead, Diva, ask a question.
Growing up in Youngstown, growing up being, I didn't grow up with brothers, But just hearing how my cousins were being talked to by our uncles and other males and how they're being told, you know, especially in the 80s and the 90s, there has been a huge distrust of the police. It takes a long time for that distrust to go away. So if you're being told that when we're having certain conversations with our black children of how they need to fear police, not trust the police, but be careful out of fear, what makes you think they're going to want to grow up and be a part of that system that does have some sentiments of racism in them, in most departments?
Let me say this to you. The same way you grow up to be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, an IT person, a computer person, a phlebotomist, a health administrator, a businessman, a businesswoman, discrimination is everywhere. And if you don't understand how to,
lawyer,
I know.
Or...
I'm going to tell you why. Because you weren't one. But there's just as much discrimination in the medical profession as it is in the legal profession, as it is in the law enforcement profession. It's all there. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, it's kind of hard for you to go be a lawyer. And you think the lawyer is your friend, when in actuality he thinks all of his clients are always guilty, so he always tells you to take the plea deal because he always knows you've done wrong. He never finds out if you didn't. The same thing as a politician and your legislator. If you don't get involved in it, you will never know how to change it. And we need to quit telling our young men to be afraid of the police, but then we need to teach them self-respect. We also need to teach them that you don't fight the police when they pull you over. You fight the police when you get done with the process.
But how
you
about...
Can't whip them. No, listen to what I'm saying. I'm telling you from experience. A couple years ago, I was pulled over. I was arrested. I was taken to jail for something that I could not do, and I could have made a very, very bad situation a whole lot worse by going off, cussing out the officer as he pulled me over because I hadn't done anything wrong. I wasn't supposed to be arrested, and I could have just acted a complete doggone fool.
But the frustration...
And I almost did. It's called self-control. You got to back yourself down, woo-saw for a minute, go through the process, and then fight it when you get out from underneath their foot. You cannot fight it when he's got a gun on his hip.
It's like this situation in California where there's a black female professor. The cop asked to see her ID, and she just started fighting me. And I'm thinking, why didn't you just show the man your ID?
I mean, you have to understand, we have to learn. And I'm not saying it's the right thing. I'm saying it's the way that it is.
Yeah.
But trying to fight, it's like going to school and cussing out the teacher. The teacher is supposed to be a person of authority in the classroom. So when you get there, if the teacher is wrong, that child should be able to come home to its parent. Tell the parent, this is how my teacher treated me. And let the parent go back and fight it.
Right.
The child is not supposed to be fighting the teacher. We got this wrong. Good morning, AJ.
Good morning, Tracy.
Good morning, Alex.
You know, I'm listening to your convo, and I think that you're never going to get rid of prejudices and preconceptions people have about people that are different from them. You'll never completely get rid of that, which is why I think we have to really enforce a liberty doctrine in our government. And what I mean by that is, you know, the problem isn't really with the most police officers, but it's with the laws that they are dutifully bound to enforce. And so, you know, you have a lot of systemic racism built into the laws, into the system. But a lot of that is they're they're forced to enforce what I believe is unconstitutional laws. The application of them are unconstitutional because we're supposed to have equal protection under the law, but we know that they enforce certain laws like drug laws in poor areas, but they let it go rampant in more affluent areas, even though statistically, people who are more well off, especially in rural and white and suburban and white and white or white neighborhoods, they do drugs just as much as everybody else, and oftentimes more. They actually do a more variety of drugs, actually, but you know, the police only target one part of the population, so that's already unconstitutional because minorities are not afforded equal protection under the law. They're not afforded equal justice under the law. So the problem really, I'm not going to really take an issue with a police officer because he's doing his job. You know, the guy that pulls me over, yeah, I'm irritated, and there's been a lot of times that I wanted to, you know, do something about it at that moment. But when I step back for a moment, I don't really get mad at them. The problem is, you know, our government has just, we're in an era of runaway government at this point. And government has simply lost its way. People think at this point that they get their rights from the government, and they don't realize that the purpose of government is to protect their rights, not to grant them.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, some of that, Alex, though, as far as the enforcement, I think you're looking at a manpower thing, especially in our rural areas. Like where I live, you've got two sheriff's deputies on call at any time for an entire county. Where in Youngstown, how many cops are on duty at one time?
Yeah, but you
so
have
you've
to
got
like,
you've got a higher concentration of people.
You have to look at.
But the perception is different also.
You can't look at the low levels. You have to look at the higher levels of law enforcement. From, you know, whether it's your state has a Department of Justice or whatever, however that structure is in your state, how those resources are allocated. People blame the police officer that they see every day, but they're not the ones allocating the resources into those particular neighborhoods and those particular counties. But I'm not advocating that we put a big police force in rural areas either. Because I think that the laws that they're being forced to enforce are unconstitutional by themselves. I'm not advocating that either, but I'm saying that if you're gonna apply the law, it needs to be applied equally.
I agree. But let me say this: prejudice is there, and misperception is there, and they have painted African Americans into a box, and they have this perception of who we are and that we're not. But like I said, when you have a problem with the police, we have not learned how to fight it with our head
in the court
and not with our brawn.
I mean, I know.
Hold on, and then when we go to court, there's not enough people in the courtroom who can fight for us while we're standing there. Because everybody has the same perception of you once you get there. And we have not learned, if you look at the Urban League, the NAACP, and all these civil rights programs and the Negro Defense Fund and all that kind of, none of them actually go after the law, nor do they go after the rights of the people of when they stop you, the measure of stopping, what has happened, you know, driving while black. They don't go after any of that, and they should. Because we're never proactive in anything. We're always reactive.
Yeah, and I think, Tracy, that's 86.
Well, I understand that you get treated different in a traffic stop than I do.
Maybe.
But my father always called the police the Gestapo. He told me, you know, he'd get pulled over 10 and 2 and all that stuff. But my father had a complete and total disdain for any officers. He called every one of them the Gestapo.
Go ahead.
And I think some of them actually just very poorly trained. I mean, I've seen some videos online where they were being using excessive force. And I'm sitting there thinking, if I had a set of handcuffs, there is no way I would need to use that much force to detain somebody that's half my size. I mean, it's ridiculous some of the things they do.
I wish the audio was better. There's a perfect example of an out-of-control cop in Canton, Ohio. Pulled over a car with four people in it, and the guy in the driver's seat's got a concealed carry license, and he keeps trying to tell the guy that he's got a concealed carry license and a gun, and the cop just keeps screaming at him to shut the F up. And it's like you can find it on YouTube, just YouTube Canton, Ohio concealed carry cop.
But let me say this. We have a problem with authority. And until we start changing our mindset and respect levels for ourselves first and for authority, we will always have this problem.
But the police departments aren't helping either because they're becoming military units. They're not being police forces anymore.
But again, that goes back to
we're giving these morons armored personnel carriers.
Go ahead, Covina, man. And you're not allowed to say white supremacy.
What I was going to say was how what the problem is, like, I'm not dismissing anything anybody else said, but I want to say when the problem is when you have the rogue cop situation and you get it on videotape, audio tape, whatever, and you bring it to the court system, you have dangerous people on the jury who will never say, oh, the cops can't be racist, or not all cops are racist, or something like that. So when you do expose it, they always get away with it. It seems like I can't think, outside of California, I don't know when a cop gets held responsible for any misdeed that they do against black people. Now, against white people, it's something different. But against black people, I don't remember when any cop got...
Let me say this.
Outside of California.
Hold on. There are times when cops are held accountable. There are times when cops are not held accountable. But we need to go back to our media sources also in what they want to display and let you know about and what they don't want you to know about. And because we as African Americans do not have our own media sources as we should when it comes to news and information, we still rely on the white man who we say we can't trust to give us our news.
That's irrelevant to justice. Justice shouldn't.
You can't just fly over this and not go to the root of this.
Well, you just told me don't bring up white supremacy, and you wanted to bring.
I didn't bring up white supremacy.
Okay, well,
I never said it.
That is the root of it,
I didn't say it. What I said was you can't say it. I said what I said. We need to understand you can't go after the fruit unless you go after the root. And the root is, the problem is we don't get an equal, fair photo of what the law and what's going on across the country in our communities and accurately, because we got the white man who we say we distrust giving us the news that they want us to know. And then you wonder why you don't know something.
Justice is supposed to be blind. What happened?
Justice ain't never been blind. That's a cliche. Justice has always had a color. Go ahead, 336.
Justice is supposed to be blind, and that's what they tell us. So we get find out that it's not blind.
We should never tell our children that justice is blind.
No,
that's a bad thing to do. Somebody lied to everybody.
Yeah, even in my house, we knew justice wasn't blind. We knew justice had a dollar sign attached to it.
Absolutely. We need to quit telling our children lies about Santa Claus, fairy tales, rabbits on Easter, and justice is being blind. And everything in life is fair, because that's all a lie. 334, your mic is on. I'm sorry, 336.
Yeah, I'm listening to everybody input, and to the brother that was speaking about the situation that happened in, I think it was Canton, Ohio. And then I heard you make a comment say that what we need to do is to obey authority or become obedient to authority. I found even in your way of thinking that you have to be, and I'm not saying this out of any kind of context or anything, but at least able to embrace truth for what it is. It's not so much that we have to become obedient to authority, because that's not the issue. But like the brother was saying, the police they don't have that level of respect for us. They are becoming a military state. And matter of fact, that was a main news broadcast one day when I was looking at it, how the United States is becoming a police state, a military police state. So it's not that. What you have is you have rookies who go in to be trained to be cops. Already in their intentions and in their minds, they already have set out the type of cop that they want to be when they get out. So now when they're behind these cruisers, they have that demeanor that now they're a cop, they got a badge, you see what I'm saying? Now they have authority, and they can speak to us how they want to speak to us. Well, I've known myself personally that there are great cops out there on the force, good cops, very great, honorable men who stands up to the core values. But then, like you always have, a bag of a rotten apples for the rest of the bunch. And that's what you have. You have some crooked cops on the police force. It's not that we don't respect all cops, because we do respect cops at the level of respect that they deserve, because they are out there on the front line. But it's those cops that already within themselves have already made themselves out to be the cop that they wanted to be. It's not fair to take up for those cops, but it is fair to take up for those who stand up for us. But for those who squandered on us, I don't care if you're white or you're black. It is what it is in America. You see,
because they got some bad black cops out there too.
That's why I said it doesn't matter black or white. You see what I'm saying? And that's what I'm trying to tell you is that. This is a great conversation.
Hold on,
Diva. What is there?
No. 269, your mic is on. Stanley, your mic is on. Okay.
Hey, Tracy.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm listening for now. I'll come with a comment when I have something to add to the subject.
Go ahead, Alabama.
Hello, can you hear me, Tracy? Yeah, I just don't want to be muted for 45 minutes because I disagree with you.
I cannot deal with the noise. Covina, Alabama, I don't need to have a conversation. I just need to get through the calls. There are about 15 in the queue, and I've got to go to break. So I need to make sure that we can all not talk on top of each other, and if you cannot hear, I will mute you. I'll be right back.
Hello, you SOM.
She muted my mic for the whole darn show just because I said something about something, and then she just put a lot of fake arguments on me. I didn't even say all that stuff.
I was wondering what happened to you.
She just muted my
mic. I was wondering why you were so
quiet. She just got this emotional response, and I was just trying to come in with something, and she just started just muting my mic the whole show. Like, that's just...
Yeah, she don't like what she's saying.
That's not debate. That's a dictatorship. I understand you pay for the show, but that's just... Now, why do you have a talk show if you just want to just control the narrative and you don't want to hear real truth? Or somebody may
and
come in and
start off
say,
your remark and it doesn't go in the right direction, or it's not going in the right direction, then they mute you.
Yeah,
I'm still amused to how you were trying to bring up the fact that this about the guy, the reporter's ignorance, and she took it somewhere else.
I was talking about his ignorance. I was also talking about, this is the thing. We've all been stopped by cops, and they've been cool and let us go. I'm not saying all cops. But what I'm saying, even when I got a ticket, if you're respectful of a human being and don't really talk greasy,
right.
I can't say nothing because I broke the law.
That's right.
So
right.
When you pull me over and don't have to treat me as a state and give me dignity as a man and you treat me like a little
that's
boy,
right.
I got a problem with that.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
I got a major
right.
problem with that, and I don't feel like that should be right just because you got a badge.
Especially when you pay their salary.
About we need to learn how to respect authority, but the fact of the matter is the incident that I had, you had two white witnesses against one black female, and I don't want to make it a black or white thing, and the cop is telling me, they're telling him something different, and he's telling me, I just want you to tell the truth. Yeah, I told you I poured soda on him, and I told you why I threw my soda on him. No, you need to just tell me the truth. I am telling you the truth. Why do you not believe me? Because of two white witnesses? If I'm telling you that, I'm telling you this is the reason, do I seem like an irrational person? Or are you believing the narrative that all black women are just angry and we just go off the handle for no reason?
Now, you know what the problem is? you know, the problem is, and I'm listening to it too, I've been listening to her too for a little bit, other than today, but I think it's kind of like, it seems like to me like, it's kind of like, sort of like, to her, racism don't exist like how we see it exists in our eyes. You see what I'm saying? It's like every time we bring it up, then she bring up another subject like, well, black people this and you this and we. You see what I'm saying? You can't.
I don't think she doesn't think that it doesn't exist. I just think that it's politics.
I don't know.
No, I know because I know her personally.
And let me ask this.
It's politics and it's business for her.
It's a wide audience. She don't want to turn off a certain subject in the audience when it comes down to.
The caller got to realize on this show there are black people that love racism. On this show, it might sound odd, but there are plenty of black people that call on this show that love the hell out of racism.
Mm-hmm.
What, Kevin, man? What are you talking about?
I'm looking at it from the business side.
You got South Carolina.
You need to look at it from the business side.
I think South Carolina is just, I wouldn't say loves racism. I think South Carolina is just dealing with personal experiences with black people. And as much as I love him, he's just going off his own personal experiences, and sometimes he can be in that ignorant white bubble. For Tracy, it's business and politics. I kind of can understand where she's coming from, but then sometimes I kind of
don't. Well, let me ask you guys something, though. This is the thing. I get accused of being overly sensitive and emotional out of a reaction.
I'll tell you.
No. Let me finish. out of a reaction to being, I mean, I got stories. I could spend hours on this phone being threatened by cops, forced, made to do things that I didn't have anything to do with, or I'm going to jail. All types of crazy stuff, and because I'm poor and my mom can't afford a lawyer, I had to pick up trash one day because the cop said I threw it down and I didn't. Stuff like that. I had to, you know what I'm saying? I've been threatened. You know, they always talk about they'll take their badge off. I take my badge off. Well, if I whoop your ass, you gonna put it back on and go home and leave me alone when you put your badge back on? That's the thing. Like, and the guy that threatened me, back then, I see him now, and I laugh, because I've gotten way bigger than I was back then. But I just remember as a 10th grader in high school getting threatened by a cop. I'm just saying, like, I take it, I got a personal issue against cops, but do I think every cop individually is evil? No. I mean, he stopped, he pulled me over, if I broke the law, he write the ticket, he don't talk to me crazy. He said, okay, thank you. I'm like, okay, fine. I took the ticket like a man. But outside of that, you have no right to treat me any kind of way. I don't care who you are just because you got a badge. That's not right.
Yeah, exactly.
I tell you right now, if you beat a cop up and he take his badge off, he's gonna shoot you and plant a gun on you.
And then the other cop, I'm just saying, he was talking like he gonna, because he screamed at me, and I'm 16, 17, just started driving. He screamed at me, so I just said, man, whatever. Put my arm up, roll past the stop sign. So he turned around, put his lights on. It was just like Boys in the Hood, like when he threatened him. Like, it was like that. Like, I'm just at the point, like, and I've seen this over and over, you know. I've been screamed at and talked to, asked dumb questions like, where you work? Like, they always ask you, where do you work? Hell, they got to do with damn,
makes
write the ticket,
me,
man.
What makes me upset is when they make it about us as if we're the problem. I'm not going to sit here and let you talk to me any kind of way, because when I had put that status on Facebook, she was like, oh, I just know how you are. You went, what made you go off? One, I wasn't talking about the cop. I was talking about the person who committed the offense towards me. But what makes you think I'm just going to sit up there and go off on a cop just because I'm going to go off on you?
And then she talks about the 20%.
For no reason.
Look, her
you're
reason was the
20%
that gets picked on
and
messed with.
I'm going to talk nasty right back to you.
She was talking about
that's
the 20%. I was like, the 20% that get messed on with cops, 9 times out of 10, they stood up for themselves. They said something, and they said something back, and it escalated, and the guy wound up getting shot or put in jail. One of the two. They use their authority. They use their position to abuse it and put you in a position and show you. And this happens thousands and thousands of times.
Oscar Grant, I believe that's his last name. That situation shows you it's not just about us obeying authority. It's not just about us being quiet, because Yes, they got into a fight or whatever happened. The young man was in handcuffs. And he was in handcuffs. He was running. If he was running his mouth, what threat is he to you? So you decide.
Well, you got to bow down.
You got
to bow down and respect them. You can't be a man. They thugs. They're thugs. They talk to you just
yeah,
like a thug.
Yeah, that's what a real thug is.
So think about a thug. A thug will treat you a certain way. And when you stand up for yourself, they'll get mad at you for standing up for yourself. That's how thugs think. That's what cops do. They thugs, too. They pick on you. How dare you ask me a question? Who do you? I'm a cop. Who do you think? You just respect me and do what I say. And they wouldn't do it. They, if you, any self-respecting man ain't going to let you talk to them and say something. He's going to be like, man, who are you talking to? Most guys are like that.
Why are you saying guys? Women don't either.
I'm going to tell you, a woman can say things a man can't say. See, women can get away with a little bit more than a black
true.
Man. You a black man, you might get shot. A black woman, might slap you and whoop you, but he ain't going to pull his gun out and shoot you like he will a brother.
That's not true, because that woman in that video who got beat up, from what the reports I read, is she walked away from the police officer or wouldn't show her ID or something, and he just went in on her. Women are in,
That's anecdotal. I mean, nine times out of ten, in cases of cop brutality, it's against a black man most of the time. I mean,
you're right, you don't have to show your ID. That man, that cop should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, put in jail, and not have something else drastically done to him in a case like this. But one of the problems with black folks don't control the things that control politics. Who control the police?
Yeah.
But then it goes back to what Kavina Man is always trying to say. How are we supposed to get into power when they're blocking us? We can sit up here all we want to say, all we have to do is just get ourselves in there. You really think they're going to allow us to get in there without it being a problem? So what do we do? What's the plan when we get into power? Are we going to protect each other, or are we going to allow them to tear the one that we let in down and kill them again like they killed Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X?
I hear what you're saying, but you never just say, I don't want to fight the bully because he's big and strong. You still got to say, I mean, the thing is, it's going to take hundreds of years. It's not going to happen in 5 minutes. It's not going to happen in 10 years. It's going to probably take us a couple hundred years to get there.
We need a plan in place, and when we put that plan in place, we need to learn how to stick together. But then you have some people who go along with the other side all the time, and we'll try to help use, and they will use them to shut us down. But what are we going to do when that happens?
Well, here's the thing, though, Diva. We've had a black, the top law enforcement officer in the country has been black for the past 6 years. Why is this still going on?
What do you mean,
the
top law enforcement?
Eric Holder. He's been dilly-dallying around.
Eric Holder doesn't really have any real power.
Why did he try to express it in Florida then? Eric Holder does have power to address that issue right there.
All he can do is enforce laws that are passed through Congress. That is it.
What do you mean he has no power?
He has no real power because all he can do is enforce and prosecute the laws that were passed through Congress. That's it. He can't change any law.
No, he has power. He can have an FBI investigation.
Hey, yeah, but it takes a long time to get to the court, so.
Thank you.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Dr. Hill's in the studio with me, and I've got a lot of people on the line. Dr. Hill, we've been talking about police.
I heard.
And turn his mic up.
I can relate to that.
Can you relate to that?
Yeah.
You've had your problems, haven't you?
I tell you.
You're a physician, and you drive your wife's car.
I had an interesting thing happen to me when I lived in New Jersey. I was driving back from the casino.
Oh.
New Year's Eve. Boy, that's New Year's Day. Had a sports car, 330 horsepower. I was sitting at the light. There were some teenagers next to me, so we were revving our engines up, you know, like we're going drag race. So when the light turns green, I stay there. They pull off. So I'm driving the speed limit, and all of a sudden, lights flash behind me. I pull over. I say, "Officer, why are you pulling me over? You were speeding." I said, "No, I wasn't." "Yes, you were." I said, "No, I was not. I was not speeding. And you know I wasn't speeding." So I started to get irritated. Wife said, "Calm down." I said, "Okay, okay." So I said, "Okay, fine. I'll see you in court." His response was, "I'll give you more tickets." I said, "Okay, well, I won't take it to court." I did take it to court.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my 5 minutes with the judge. I still had to, I had to pay the fine.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to pay court costs.
Okay.
So the judge must have sort of figured it was BS.
Right.
And the cop was a white guy, young white guy. So about 9 months later, I used to work one day a week at this migrant clinic in this place called Hamilton, New Jersey. They picked blueberries. It was halfway between Philadelphia and Atlantic City. It was me and a midwife would work there. You know, one day we rotate, work there one day a week. And usually the midwife would see the patient and get the interview and everything. So as I'm there, I notice this, a white guy and a girl go into the room, and I said, "That guy looks familiar. Let me see the chart." And it said he was a police officer. I said, "That's that SOB that pulled me over." So I told the midwife, "Guess what? I'll go in." I walked in that room. And you know what I said to the guy and his girlfriend?
What?
"Do you remember me?" You know what his response was?
"No, sir, I don't."
"No, yes, I do."
Oh, my God.
And my response was, "You know what you did was effed up, don't you?" His girlfriend's like, "What's going on?" "Well, what happened?" "You tell her what happened. You pulled me over and you know I wasn't speeding, don't you?" You know his response was?
What?
"Yes, you're correct."
Wow.
And it felt so good to make
it was, it was vindicating,
to
wasn't
make,
it?
Make him look so small in front of his woman that I got to, I'm going to take care of because she's pregnant.
That felt good.
That felt good.
That felt good.
Every time he saw me after that, he kissed my ass. God, that felt good.
Terrestrial radio, Doc.
That felt good.
I said, and Alabama brought this up, I know there are bad police out there.
Yeah.
But all of them ain't bad.
Now, on the flip side, I got pulled over again because I was speeding.
Yeah.
I was going real fast.
That's what I'm saying.
And a white state trooper pulled me over. And at the time, I had 11 points on my license.
You didn't want another point.
Two more points, I can't drive. So I told the guy, I said, "Look, I'm Dr. Hill, and I got 11 points on my license. I can't afford two more points." You know what he said? "I tell you what, you're not wearing a seatbelt." I was, but you know, take it for no seatbelt. I said, "Thank you." So all of them aren't bad. But the thing is, there are enough bad ones to make the rest look bad.
And it is. And I understand that. But we can't tell. Do you teach your son that the police are bad?
I don't teach him that the police are bad. No, I don't.
What do you teach your son? When it comes to authority.
Well, he knows. He has a friend whose father is a policeman, so he knows police, what they do. They, you know,
they stop crime, they protect the public.
Okay.
So personally, I don't go there with the police are bad per se.
But he does understand that if authority stops him or a teacher bothers him, he's supposed to do what? Come home, or is he supposed to fight it himself?
Well, he's supposed to listen to whatever the teacher said. Well, whatever teacher authority figure says. Now, if he thinks it's incorrect, he may say, no, that's not right. But he understands that that teacher, whoever has the final word, he may come home and say, X, Y, and Z happened. And, you know, if what he says sounds reasonable, then we may take up the fight and say, hey, what you did was incorrect, or what have you.
Pianki, your mic is on.
I had the highway patrol pull me over one time after making it. An exit at a fork off the Highway 70 there at the Brown Road here in St. Louis, not the Bridge Road, actually. And he came up to my window and said, sir, I just want to commend you. You're the only car this morning who have properly exited the highway off to this fork. I really gave my day the turn signal. And he said, have a nice day. So, I tell you, when the highway patrol usually stopped you, you could bet 99% you've done something wrong.
And
you worked your way down. Well, you will or you won't.
Yeah,
you will or you won't.
I
was riding my motorcycle.
Where did you come from?
I was riding my motorcycle one time. I used to carry a stack barrel 38 Derringer in my jacket pocket, my Levi jacket pocket. And when they stopped me, I took it out and set it on top of the fairing. And he came and asked me about where I was going and so forth. I know he seen the gun, but, you know, it was open to carry. And he didn't say anything. And I just, after they left, and I kept on going. So you have good experiences, and you have bad experience. But, you know, one of the things, and I always say, I've seen black communities that had a strong business base, and I've seen them get rid of cops that had done something. He had a black cop in Pagedale that, for some reason or another, he shot a young man in the face. And they got rid of him, and an organization not only was there to see that he got kicked out of Pagedale, but every municipality in there, I think he went to Berkeley. They showed up at meetings. Berkeley didn't hire him. He went over to Illinois to some town, Aurora, I think it was. He tried to get hired there. They showed up at the meeting. He didn't get hired there new because they put the pressure on. So it works both ways.
Go ahead, Diva.
Oh, I'm just listening. The one thing that about your comment about we just need to learn how to respect authority.
Absolutely.
That bothers me because I don't understand why do you think that that is the majority of the case.
Because I know
I feel
that
as
they don't.
Hold on, let me finish. I feel that I don't care if you have a badge on. If you're going to talk to me any kind of way, I'm a grown adult. I'm going to talk to you the same exact way you talk to me. And you having a badge does not mean I have to put on a submissive, subservient behavior because you do that mean I have to wall out and punch you in your face? No. But you're going to get the same attitude towards you that you're giving towards me. And I don't understand how people just don't grasp that.
Because we have not learned how to fight from the second chair. Sometimes you've got, even when you're right, you've got to take second until you get in the position to be right. Whether it be Dr. Hill's situation, I think I told you guys about a situation I had at a bank. It was my money. They knew it was me, and they gave me the runaround for a lousy $50 to the place where I was going to jump over the desk and whip that little manager all over that little bank. But that would not have been good for me. So I had to sit there, woo-saw, breathe, you know, do the pregnancy breathe, because I'm getting ready to shout, lady, I'm getting ready to whip you. And I know me, and I had to break it down. But then when I left there and after it got resolved, then I knew that I went to her regional manager and the bank president, which is the board members that they had.
because I had access to them. And the next thing I knew, I had a little letter from her saying that she was sorry for the misunderstanding.
Or you could, but the thing is, Tracy, that's what I like, Tracy, because you could have acted a fool in there, and that would have ended you.
I'd have gone
to
jail.
Let me tag in next, Tracy. Can I go, Tracy?
Go ahead, Kamina, man.
I would have probably been in jail.
Hold on, Kamina.
Okay. Diva, that's what I'm saying. We've got to learn. Yeah, they need to respect me, but I need to know, when you have power over me and you can cause me a long-lasting harm, I need to fight with my head and not with my brawn, so that when I get back cerebrally and not with me going to jail and then me losing.
Exactly.
And that's
you,
what we got to learn.
You arguing back and forth. You can argue
you
the law with them, and you still can end up
Diva,
in jail.
See, because you
arguing
you
the law
you
with
won't, a, you will not keep your mouth shut until it's time to speak.
Better off to run away and live and fight another day.
You've got to learn.
Says your mother,
the day
not
that
mine.
Will come. No, that was a day that you have to learn that you can fight back a different way or a different day. Because I'm going to get you back.
How, when the courts don't even believe us? That's the point I'm getting at.
That's
you
not
can't
true.
Fight. You can't even fight them in the court system.
You can't
so
fight them in the court
your
system.
Mouthpiece, if your mouthpiece is all you have to argue back with a cop, with a law, and I've seen YouTube videos, and I've done
Diva,
so myself,
you,
you
have
argue
never
the
seen
law.
Any, Diva, you have never seen anybody fight with their mouth and win. Including you.
I've never seen them really. Okay, so being subservient and submissive.
You fight from a different angle. Just like Dr. Hill said. No, just
you
like, wait a minute, hold on. Diva,
what
just like you said,
it
can't, what goes around comes back around. When that man, when he walked into that office with that white coat on, and that man looked at him, in his mind he said, oh, snap. That, and he might have called him an N-word underneath his throat. He said, that's that N-word I pulled over, and he wasn't speeding. Oh, snap.
And now,
absolutely.
And now he's going to be taking care of my girlfriend.
And he said, women, he's taking care of my baby. Come on now. Now, would you rather, was that better than court?
And the fact that even though I lost in court, he had to take time out. Even though I lost it in court, he had to, the policeman had to be in court. I mean, he had to take time out of his day.
To be there.
To be there. So I inconvenienced him.
But we have to, there's a place to fight. Go ahead, Kavina, man.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say how I wanted to, before I was muted the last hour, that you cannot, the law does not say you get justice if you own a media company or you get justice if you own a radio station. You're supposed to get equal justice under the law. It doesn't say with the asterisk you have to control the media. So I just want to smack that down right off the bat.
That's not what I said. It's not about owning. It's about controlling it.
Well, you know, it doesn't say that you have to control the media.
Listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth. You need to hear
explain
this.
Your statement. Explain
our
it.
Problem is we do not control our own news sources. And because we do not control our own news sources, what we hear is what people want us to see. And we see it the way they want us to see it. And they do what they choose to do because we don't control
Everyone
it.
Everyone faces challenges.
And because we do not control it, we are subject to those who educate us and inform us. There is a reason why Time Warner does not want Rupert Murdoch to buy them. It's about him and his control and his view and them not wanting to be aligned to it. We are not even a player in this game when it comes to information. Information is still power. Perception is controlled by images, and images right now is brought to us by our television sets and who owns and controls the media. And right now, we do not have not one media source that is nationwide controlling anything that gives us the news that we need to have about what's going on in our communities on the real tip, the actual facts. Everything is planted some other way, and we wonder why we're all screwed up.
Okay, I got my 15 seconds in to your 3 minutes. Can I have a response?
You can have a response, but don't talk stupid.
I'm just saying. I know I'm gonna be abrupt in 12 seconds, but I'm just saying that it doesn't matter what you're distracting from the argument. It does. The argument about police brutality has nothing to do with controlling of the media. You're just trying to divert the attention away from that. You're trying to say that the reason why the doctor right there can't get justice in the court is because black people don't control the nationwide media. That's hogwash. He can't get justice in the court system because the court system is racially corrupt, and we got to do something about it.
And that's, again, you can't do something about it until you do something with the legislature. You can't do something with the legislature until you know what the legislature does. You can't figure out what it does until somebody educates you about that. And the only media source that you have that does that is the white man's news.
Well, the dumbest law I've ever come across, and I just got a ticket for, was not having a front plate on my vehicle. I've been driving this vehicle almost 4 years. I know, but I've been driving this vehicle almost 4 years. The vehicle was bought in Pennsylvania or West Virginia or another state where it's manufactured, so it's not manufactured with the brackets.
I got a ticket, too. I'm not even
I
got one, too, for a front.
Right, but
my
what
truck
I'm saying
did not
is,
have my, I went for years. It's
that's
the dumbest
dumb
law.
Law.
I went for years without a front plate. This man turned around in the middle of Glenwood to come by and check me. I'm tired. I'm trying to get home. He turned his little white car around in the middle of Glenwood to come and ask me, why don't I have a front license plate? I'm like, what? Do you have nothing else better to do? And by the way, I didn't have a seatbelt on, so I got dinged twice. Hello? It's a dumb law. It was a law. I knew about it. I knew about the law. I can't change the law until I change the law with it, it will always be. And I've just learned that you can't fight City Hall from sitting behind an SUV.
Illinois don't require it. At least they didn't, unless they just recently required. Mm-hmm. So Illinois should come to Missouri and drive right across the river. Some cars
on,
don't
Diva.
Have the adaptation to install a front license plate.
Go
ahead. You're required to put it on yourself if you buy a car from a state that doesn't require a front license plate.
Right.
And that's the way it is in Ohio. You're required to have one. So it's your responsibility to take that car someplace and have that holder
right.
put on the front of your car.
Right. But they put that bracket on. They put that bracket on at the dealership. If a new car is sold in Ohio, the bracket's put on the dealership.
But if you buy a used car.
If you buy one, in this area, we get a lot of Pennsylvania cars.
Yeah.
So you got to go get the bracket yourself and put the bracket on.
And we didn't do all that.
And because my California Mercedes got me a ticket because I didn't want to drill holes in the bumper. I drilled holes in the bumper.
Listening to Tracy and friends.
It's a stupid law. Still a stupid law. I don't care what nobody says.
I know. I'm not agreeing with
you. What did they do to Pennsylvania drivers? What do they do to Pennsylvania motor cars when they come over?
If you're out of state,
Pennsylvania has a license plate in the back.
If you have out of state plates, they won't bother you. But the biggest problem I had was it was a motorcycle cop. The dude who was to the left of me was speeding. But yet you pull me over for not having a front plate. I see if I was speeding or doing something wrong. That was just dumb. And I know I don't want to ruin if I paid all this money for this vehicle, then I'm going to just have somebody drill holes in the front bumper. Possibly ruin it.
When it comes to the law,
get a proper bracket put on the front of it anyway.
But 4 years,
and never had a ticket?
The law, the way it's set up, they can get you for fighting in the back seat of your car or sleep, you drunk, you go in the back seat, they can put you in jail for that. They can put you in jail for being 8 feet near your car with the keys in your pocket. They can find anything they want to do to put you in jail because even though it's personal and you and them both know it's personal and they just want to pick on you, they still can make up something. I can find any reason. You can be walking down the street and go to jail just for walking down the street. Doing minding your business. They can interact with you, get you to say something the wrong way, trap you in your conversation, and lock you up. That's cops.
Then that same cop will turn around next week and let somebody go, and he's a good cop. But last week he beat somebody ass. Yeah,
I don't think that any cops are good because you have that blue wall. What they call it? You have a cop who is good but won't turn on his brother because they have that code. How good are you if you allowing the bad cop to continue to do
when
bad?
That guy, when they sat there and beat that guy, they beat that guy.
But a lot of this treatment you're talking about that's coming from police officers, it depends on where you live. If you're living out in the suburbs, the police act completely differently than if you're living in the inner city.
I disagree. If you're black and you're in a suburban neighborhood, and they pull you over, if they pull you over in a suburban neighborhood, they will trip. In certain
instances. Well, they do the same thing to whites that drive through all black communities.
I was driving in the suburbs. With the police officer when I went back home.
You don't belong in the suburbs. You don't have the money. That's why they pay their money. This nice neighborhood, and here these niggas come out here messing it up with their nice rims in their car and sound system. We got to get these niggas out of here.
Alabama, I've seen whites drive through nice black neighborhoods, and they get pulled over. Their cars ransacked, so on and so on.
They're
right. They do it. But let me tell you something. The thing is that if I keep saying, your police do what the politics allow them to do. If
that's
you don't
true.
Control the politics in that community, then the police going to do what apparently somebody is allowing them to do.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And the economics dictate what the politics are. So, therefore, if you deal
with
an inner-city neighborhood and nobody owns anything, nobody has any businesses, that you're all low-income, and they figure that you're low-class as a result.
One of the biggest problems with black people, a lot of black people, and mostly black conservatives that I hear, is I'm not breaking the law, so I'm not worried about it. I don't care. And that is the problem. My brother just told me that on a Facebook post. He never fears the cops. You should fear the cops. Because you reach for your wallet, you can blow your brains out. You really being ignorant if you don't fear the cops as a black man. I'm sorry.
Well, I agree with you, Alabama, on that.
That we have black children and have that type of conversation with our black children is sad. Even still today, we have to have that conversation.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear.
Hello, Jeff.
I ain't never been afraid of the cops. Not ever.
You need to move very slowly around the cops or they'll kill you.
I had quite a few run-ins with the cops. I've been arrested a couple of times. I still ain't afraid of them.
I tell you what, be on the back.
What I'm afraid of them for?
Be on the back roads, Mississippi one night.
I don't think he's talking about fear as in, ooh, I'm so afraid. I don't think it's like that. I think it's more of a fear as in,
this guy
like,
can kill me and do what the next day.
They can always do that to you. There's no doubt about it. But like I said, whether I'm a fool or not, I don't know. But I've just never been afraid.
479-455-5229. And I have Dr. Hill in studio with me. And Dr. Hill is from Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And it's always a pleasure to have him with me. Doc, I need you to move the mic over a little bit to get it out so that it's more you than Mike. Yeah, you got to get your position right. You see the position, you got to see how you want to look.
Okay.
There you go. And make sure you're still talking into the head of the mic. Pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And I've got Sticks in the studio with me. And we were talking about police stops, and I'm going to change the subject because Dr. Hill is our medical consultant here for Tracy and Friends.
Correspondent. No, big difference.
What's the difference?
Sanjay Gupta is a correspondent.
So what's Dr. Oz?
He's a...
Thank you. Somebody finally speaks truth to power.
Oh, jeez, old man. And also, Dr. Hill's an OBGYN, and Dr. Hill's a board-certified OBGYN. He practices here in the Mahoning Valley, and it's at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley, and he's been with me since, I want to say, almost from the beginning. And I want to thank him for his support because he actually helped me make this happen. And I want to switch over to talk to him for at least about a half an hour, 40 minutes, about women's health and about things that deal with the medical issues. First, I want to talk to you about birth control.
Okay.
And Diva, I want you to help me out with this because you may have some questions. And if there's any women out there or some men, because, you know, you guys don't, when you guys, when your wife or your girlfriend or your significant other goes to the OBGYN, there are probably questions that you may or may not have, or even about your own, about women, because you have to realize men have questions about women that they don't get to ask women, and they don't get to ask Diva. They don't get to ask the doctor because when you go, I mean, they don't go in. And so this is a good time to start asking questions that you don't get to normally ask. And if you have children in the room, make them go to play outside. Just in case. Yeah, this is Tracy and friends. You never know what somebody's going to ask.
Hey, they see the stuff on Facebook.
You know. So,
I'm
Doc
Hill. Conversation. Yeah, with the doc. So beware, doc.
Yeah, okay. Beware. There are a couple. Well, the question that I want to ask you about is Hobby Lobby, birth control, IUD versus day after pill versus RU486.
Okay,
what is the difference between the three, and what was the big deal?
On some level, I don't know. Was it much to do about nothing? Maybe yes, maybe no.
Okay.
Now I guess the two types of birth control that Hobby Lobby objected to was the IUD and the morning after pill.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
They objected to that.
So what's the difference between 46 what was the difference between 46 and the morning after pill? Is there a difference?
There is a difference. The RU486. What's it, 484? The pill you're speaking of is the pill that's used for medical abortions. Which means once egg and sperm have met to fertilize and then it's implanted inside the uterus, you now have a potentially viable pregnancy.
Okay.
When I say potentially viable pregnancy, well, at 6 weeks, you don't know what's going to happen to that pregnancy. Will the pregnancy be a baby in 9 months? Or will the pregnancy spontaneously miscarry?
Okay.
Any pregnancy that occurs, the chances of miscarriage occurring are roughly 15 to 18%. So if you have 100 women in a room who are 6 weeks pregnant, 15 to 18 of those will have a miscarriage due to no fault of their own, due to an act of God, due to the fact that it may be a chromosomal abnormality that's not compatible with life. Okay?
Okay.
So, now, at 6, though, in the first, you have a first trimester pregnancy, that's from up until 12 weeks. Okay? Early first trimester pregnancy, you can actually go and take a pill, which will cause an abortion, what we call a medical abortion.
Which will cause the sperm not to adhere to...
No. It'll cause the pregnancy to abort.
Okay.
Okay. Now, as an aside, believe it or not, it costs the same to get that pill to do a medical abortion versus having a surgical abortion done. It all costs the same. Yeah.
Wow.
It costs the same.
Now, what is it? And what an IUD? Isn't that a form of birth control?
Yes, it is.
So what was the deal with that?
What an IUD does, it prevents implantation.
But doesn't the birth control pill do the same thing?
No. A birth control pill prevents ovulation.
Okay.
That's what the birth control pill does. The morning after pill, in theory, does the same thing, prevents implantation.
Okay.
And that's my understanding.
So you have those who believe that life begins at conception when sperm and egg meet.
Okay.
But that sperm, until the sperm and egg implants inside the uterus, you don't have a potential for a viable pregnancy.
Okay.
And even though it implants, as I just said, 15 to 18% of those implantations are going to end in miscarriage.
Okay.
So theoretically, IUD. And the morning after pill do not cause abortions. Because in order for an abortion to occur, you have to have the egg implant, a fertilized egg implanted inside the uterus in order for an abortion to occur.
Okay. I have a question for you, Dr. Hill.
Sure.
Can you explain what a chemical pregnancy is?
Well, a chemical pregnancy, in essence, would be a pregnancy that implants but subsequently miscarries. So meaning early on, I'll give you an example. You know, you'll see advertised on TV that you can get a pregnancy test that will tell you that you're pregnant before you've had a chance to miss a period. Okay? Let's say if your period is supposed to occur in 2 to 3 days. Well, there's a there's some pregnancy tests you can get that will tell you that you're pregnant before that missed period occurs. Now, the fact that it tells you that you're pregnant, that has no bearing on whether in 9 months you'll have a baby. Because, as I stated, 15 to 18% of all pregnancies end in miscarry. So that chemical pregnancy is possibly one of those pregnancies that end in miscarry. Okay?
Wow. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
I had never heard of chemical pregnancy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard of that term either.
I mean,
theoretically, you could have a chemical pregnancy, and let's say your period ends up being 2 days late, and you have a period. So had you never done that pregnancy test, you would have never known that a pregnancy had occurred. You just attribute that to, that's my period. Just, it was just 2 days late.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Yeah. I had never heard that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about this.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to, when a lot of people don't go to the gynecologist as they should.
Right.
And early detection for and getting a pap smear is very, very important for sustainability and health.
It is.
There are a lot of times that women have a foul odor. What does that come from?
It can come from many things.
Like what?
There are certain bacterial vaginosis.
Okay.
Bacterial vaginosis is a discharge that can occur that's due to bacteria inside the vagina that's normally occurring, but depending on the body's pH, if the pH goes up, then bacteria that's normally present in small numbers starts to overgrow the environment. And hence will produce a discharge, may have a fishy type of odor to it. That would be a reason for a discharge. A lot of your STDs can cause a discharge. So it could be a sign, STD meaning sexually transmitted disease or sexually transmitted infection. It could be a sign of that.
And you should automatically, when you find that out, go call the doctor.
That's an option. Or, you know, you have a lot of product over the counter that'll treat yeast infections.
Okay.
So, you know, someone may opt to, let me try a product for yeast infection. I'll take it. It went away, so I'm fine.
Okay. And so how often should I try the over-the-counter medicine? I mean, how do you know which to take and how do you know which to do?
Well, it's how do you know which to take?
I mean, because, you know, cause, I mean, there's, I mean, it's like toothpaste now. You go to buy a toothbrush and toothpaste now. There's this montage like, hello, what do you buy?
Well,
how do you know?
There's several products, but they're basically relatively all the same. Monistat okay. 1, Monistat 7, Gynalotrimin. They're basically the same class of product. So typically a woman might go to her pharmacist and say, which one of these should I use? And he'll tell her, well, this you only take 1 day. This you take 7 days.
What happens when women lose their sex drive? What's going on there?
Could be a multitude of things.
Can it be fixed?
Depending on what the underlying issue is, sure.
And when they come, I mean, because a lot of, I mean, I guess as women get older or
mm-hmm.
They lose their drive, it causes bad relationships with their husbands
mm-hmm.
on both sides.
Yeah.
And a lot of times women are embarrassed, so they don't talk about it. They just have a headache. And they don't know that it can be fixed, or do they go to the doctor? Is it psychological? Is it physical? What is it? It's like they wake up one morning and it's like,
I just don't want to be bothered.
It's multifactorial, meaning there are a lot of different causes. Some can be psychological. Some can be physical. Some can be emotional. There are a whole lot of different reasons why that may occur.
So how much of it is just a husband not taking the time and effort he should be taking?
How much? It's hard to say. It's hard to say. It's sort of individual. You ask questions and you delve into it, and it's hard to say. Unfortunately, there are not really any products on the market as far as, let's say, something equivalent to Viagra.
Right.
For men. There really are no products out there.
Oh, really?
There's no such thing as Spanish Fly?
Yes, there are different things out there, but as far as from a standpoint of prescription and so forth, there's really not many options. Not many options out there. There are those that say Viagra works in women, but who knows?
Who's going to test it?
No. Who knows?
Who's
going
to go blind taking it, trying to find out?
That's one of those areas.
If I was married, I would.
That's one of those areas. It's sort of trial and error. You try this, you try that, and see. Some things may work for some, may not work for others. There are some that benefit from a little boost of testosterone.
Okay.
And then there are those that say it doesn't work. Well, if it works for you, fine.
Who was that? Go ahead.
This is Alex again.
Hey, Alex.
I have two boys. I got one more on the way next month. You going to break?
No, go ahead.
So you know, I have two boys. I have one more. My wife is due next month with our third child. And
you gonna name her Tracy?
Actually, I think it's gonna be a boy. It's looking like it's gonna be another boy.
So you gonna name him Trey?
No, name him Diva. Name her, because I think it's gonna be a girl. So name her Diva.
No, it's going to be Trey. Hey. Go ahead, Alex. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, with how expensive kids are, I'm my wife and I are really like, you know what? We don't think we're going to do this again. And so my question is, you know, there's basically one of us has to get fixed. And so there's, you know, I guess it's called tubal ligation. You know, for her
Correct.
To get her to, you know, but that seems to be kind of, I don't know what's better. Is it better for her to get fixed or me? You know, because it seems kind of invasive for her.
You know what? It's personal preference. You know, both you getting a vasectomy or her getting sterilized are surgical procedures. So it's
right.
a matter of personal preference.
But hasn't the I guess the medical practice, the science of it, has either one become more advanced where, you know, maybe the incisions aren't as big or it doesn't take as long or the recovery is faster, you know, basically like which side has the medical science advanced more in so that, you know, it's better for the patient. It's patient's
recovery. Well, from that standpoint, there's actually a procedure that I would say a majority of OBGYNs do for a sterilization called Escher, Essure. And in that procedure, there are no incisions made on the abdomen at all. We go straight through the cervix, and we put a coil in both fallopian tubes from inside. And what happens, the tissue in the fallopian tube grows around the coil, so therefore you have blockage in both tubes. There's no incision required. Recovery time, generally speaking, is 24 to 72 hours.
Wow.
How
can it be reversed?
Non-reversible.
Okay.
Now, nothing is 100%. The only thing that's 100% is abstinence. But from an effective standpoint, we're talking about 99.7%.
Yeah. abstinence ain't gonna happen, Doc. Yeah.
Well, but no, but you said how effective. The only thing that's 100% effective is abstinence. So every method of sterilization that's available, someone has gotten pregnant following that procedure.
Wow.
Somewhere in the world, someone has gotten pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Actually, I recall having a young lady who I actually sent her someplace else to get sterilized because I was at a Catholic institution and they claimed not to do those things. That's another story.
Go ahead, Pianki.
But what happened, she went to get sterilized, and it just so happened where she was in her cycle. You know, of course, they do a pregnancy test the day of the procedure. Well, it's negative. But because of where she was in her cycle and when she at last had sexual relations, she had done her, she was sterilized, but
it was too late.
The horse is out the barn already. And had a baby 9 months later.
Oh, wow. her last ball hoog showed up.
Yeah.
It happens that way. Go ahead, Pianki.
Oh, I disagree with the... You've heard of the term immaculate... He said that abstinence is 100% effective to prevent pregnancy.
Yeah.
Well, you've heard of immaculate conception, haven't you?
Yeah. We've heard of that. Yes, we've heard of that. You know what, Pianki? I'm taking a break. You know, I can't take a break. I got 7 minutes before I go to break. Jeez, oh, man. Hey,
see,
the number 347.
With his logic, you and I got to be careful because we could just pop up pregnant even though we're not doing anything.
No, I can't. No. You would not see a happy person. At all. I mean, you would see like 18 years of non-happy, maybe 25, 30 of non-happy. The happy song
because
would go away.
I'm not on birth control. I choose no longer. I just can't. I don't do the Depo because it put too much weight on me. I don't take the pill because the pill, I just don't take. I wouldn't take it properly. I'm not too keen on the implants because I've heard too many people of getting the perforations and whatnot. So I just choose abstinence to not get pregnant. And according to Pianki's logic, I can be immaculately I can have a baby through immaculate conception.
Absolutely.
Boo.
Boo?
I said boo. I'm
I said God. I tell God, I am not the Virgin Mary. I cannot handle that. There is no way.
I got one more question for the doc. I got two.
Sure, go ahead.
Women having sex
mm-hmm.
while they're pregnant,
uh-huh.
and women having sex while they're on their period.
Uh-huh.
Yes or no?
What do you mean yes?
Can
or
they
no?
do? Can you do either one? I mean,
sure.
I mean, people ask.
Sure, you can. Sure, you can. The beauty of it is, you can't get the girl pregnant.
Unless uh-huh. what?
Where she's at in her period cycle, where she's at on her period date, and when she's ovulating. Because
No. If she's truly on her period, she's not going to get pregnant.
If she
because
ovulates,
your period occurs at the end of your cycle, then you start a new cycle. So if that's her period,
we're not ovulating at the same time.
Exactly. Now, if, in fact, let's say you have an STD, like chlamydia or gonorrhea, which sometimes can produce bleeding. So it's possible if you're having sex when someone has gonorrhea or chlamydia who is bleeding, that's not, in fact, a period. So theoretically, you could get pregnant.
Ovulation.
Okay, but let me ask
hold on,
you
Diva.
This.
Hold on. Wait a minute. I want to ask you. He'll be back at the top of the hour, but I want ovulation.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true that you can only get pregnant during the course of the ovulation period?
During that 48-hour cycle, yes.
But how long can a sperm live inside a woman?
Mm-hmm. 24 to 72 hours.
So, and you only ovulate once a month?
Correct.
Window.
So that could be a 5-day window that you can get pregnant.
Well, though, it's a 48-hour window when ovulation occurs.
Okay.
But the sperm can live for 24 to 72 hours. So theoretically, if you had sex a day before ovulation, you could actually get pregnant from that sperm.
See, but you're only looking at like a 5-day window.
Yeah.
So you got a 5-day window. Hold on. You got a 5-day window when you can actually get pregnant.
Correct.
So,
hey, Doc.
Hold on. So is there a way to actually measure that out every month for your ovulation?
Sure. Yes. Well,
so that you're not getting pregnant?
Yes. They sell them at the pharmacies and drugstores, ovulation and ovulation predictor kits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people that are not trying to get... Hold on, Diva. People that are not trying to get pregnant and don't want to use a certain form of birth control, why is it that they don't go through the ovulation method?
Well, it takes... You have to be diligent about it, but sure, it works.
Yeah.
Like that's sort of basically the rhythm method to a degree. That's the rhythm method. It's a crude way of ovulation predictor kit, but that's basically the same concept.
Okay.
With the rhythm method, you sort of figure out when ovulation is occurring, so during that particular time period, you're not going to have intercourse with your husband or boyfriend.
Who else? There was a man that wanted to ask a question. Who was it?
It was me.
Go ahead, Alex.
Well, just the comment real quick. I can personally attest that the rhythm method, the failure in that, is that often enough, women want to, their drive increases when they're ovulating, so they're more prone to, you know, make up an excuse why, oh, we can do it this time, you know. But what I wanted to ask is that... But what I wanted to ask is, when it comes to sex during pregnancy, is it true that it's actually good for the baby? Because, hopefully it is, because me and my wife have been doing it. So,
I don't think it's neither. It has no effect on the baby at all.
But now, it does have effect on the woman's psyche of while she's carrying that baby.
Well, I'm sure from that standpoint, yeah, but the act itself has no effect on the baby. Or as some guys will ask me, you ain't going to hurt the baby.
that question does come up a lot,
yeah,
doesn't it?
No, you're not going to hurt the baby.
You won't hurt the baby?
No.
Okay.
Okay, I have a question.
Hold on, Diva, Go ahead, Bianchi.
Doctor, I told Tracy one time that she didn't know that women, and maybe not all, but women have 13 periods in a year's time. And she thought it was only 12, but the periods is based on the moon.
Generally speaking, you are correct, because generally speaking, the average cycle is 28 days.
That's right.
And so you figure each month has to be 30 or 31 days. So, yeah, that's
about right.
That's about right, yeah.
It goes with the waxing and the waning of the moon.
Hmm.
Go ahead, Diva.
My cycle is average 24 days.
Okay.
Explain exactly the period cycle. I know the day it starts. Does it start and stop, including spotting? Because if a woman starts spotting and then she ends her period spotting, and that last spotting day is day 7, and she has a shorter cycle and ovulates day 7, she can still get pregnant. So is spotting considered your period too, or is it not?
Your period is considered the first day. We go by the first day of your period.
And you can actually time that out.
Is spotting considered, because some women spot first, and some women don't, and some women...
So if you start off spotting, that would be considered the beginning of your period.
Hey, I'll be right back. I'm going to take a break. You'll see me on the other side of the break.
You SOM.
So therefore, men, a woman can get pregnant while she's on her period. If she ovulates day cycle 7 and her period is 7 days long, she can still get pregnant.
That ain't going to happen with me anyway.
Well, black men tend to not want to have sex with a woman while she's on her pregnancy. So. Yeah, but Diva, it's the purpose of the period
you know, because it's replenishing and lining and all that, you know, biological stuff. It's typically 15 days after your first day of your period that you start ovulating. So
No, not typical. That's just the average. No, that is not typical because that's not every woman. And if women actually follow their ovulation cycle each month for 3 months, they will find that not everybody's cycle is the same. My mother argued me up and down because she's a 28-day cycle, but I'm a 28-day cycle. But I'm a 24-day cycle, and I ovulate day 10. My daughter is a 21-day cycle. Now, we ain't trying to track her ovulation because she's only 13. But you will not, you know, and it's not your period that determines ovulation. It's ovulation that determines your period. So if you ovulate, and a woman can ovulate early or she can ovulate later, your ovulation does not necessarily stay the same. It will vary 1 to 2 days each cycle. And a woman can ovulate twice in a month depending on her period because she can have a period 2 times in that one month even though she can only ovulate one cycle.
That's kind of odd to have 2 periods in a month, though.
It depends on because if you have a shorter period cycle, like a 21 or 23, 24-day cycle.
I've never heard of anyone having a period that short, less than maybe, you know, less than a 28-day cycle.
Yeah, most people don't because we are always taught that the average cycle is 28 days, but if more women would actually track their cycle, track their bodies, they will find that there are more women who don't actually ovulate 28 days. I don't ovulate on a 28-day cycle.
Yeah,
so if you ovulate, I mean have a period. So if you have a period in the beginning of the month, you will end up having a period towards the end of that month. So you can have a period twice in 1 month.
Yeah, I get that, but I mean, my wife, she doesn't have a 28-day cycle either. Hers changes all the time. You know, sometimes it's 28, sometimes it's 35. I mean, but that's, and I agree with you, but you have to know what to check for, like the whole mucus thing and all that, to know when you're ovulating, because she does the same thing. Yeah.
Actually, ovulation prediction kits don't really, I wouldn't really use those so much because your body can send off the LH hormones 5 days before you actually ovulate. And then you're thinking, oh, it's a positive sign, so I'm going to have sex this day, we're going to get pregnant, and then you don't have sex any of the other days, and then you ovulate on the 5th day later, and you miss it. So I wouldn't do that. But basal body temp, body temperature, temping, checking your temperature, mucus, cervix position tends to tell you more about ovulation than anything else.
A lot of that 28 days for a cycle actually comes from, like, ancient superstitions of the moon and stuff, and they were tracking it against the moon. It was close enough, and that's where that actual hard number came from. Because the moon tracks on a 28 and a third day cycle. So, and they were, you know, so that's where that came from. But, yeah, Dave, I knew girls that sometimes would have their periods 3 weeks apart, 21, 22 days. Not all the time, but they'd finish one week or two later.
I remember the first time that happened to me, I thought something was wrong with me, and I called my doctor.
Yeah.
But halfway through the year, my ovulation cycle switches up. And when my ovulation cycle switches up,
yeah,
my period will change.
Yeah.
Your period doesn't predict ovulation. Your ovulation predicts your period.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they track that against tides and the moon and all that for many, many years. And Darwin said that we came from the sea, therefore you know, the tides would affect our cycles as people. And, I mean, it was, you know, there was a lot of pseudoscience that came up with that number. It could be coincidentally true, but there was a lot of other stuff, mythology that fed into that number for a couple of thousand years.
Well, it is tracked with the moon. I mean, the rising of rivers and water bodies is tracked with the full moon because of gravitational field. But the women in my wife's village, they period come on when that moon is full. Well, that's guess what happens.
Well, women who typically are grouped together, typically for some reason, their cycles will time together.
Diva, I was just going to say that because when we were in college, God help me for what I'm about to say, we offered a service in the local campus newspaper which dorms to stay away from this weekend.
Yeah.
I won't tell you what we called it. It was really chauvinistic, and I'm embarrassed to think I led myself to it, but I did. I got to be honest.
In the United States, with all the chemicals and stuff in the food, ain't no telling what's going on.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing back some fond memories, Diva.
You're welcome.
You're great.
Yeah.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I have Dr. Hill in the studio with me, and I want you to go like him on his Facebook page. I want you to...
You want that for your logo?
No.
No, okay.
It's too big.
Okay.
I want you to go like him on his Facebook. You can go to AIW... What's your website?
AIWhealth.com.
AIWhealth.com. You can go there. You can ask the doctor there. You can write in a question if you want to ask the doctor. And within a couple of days, he'll respond back to you. The number again is 347-945-5229. I got the phone lines open. I got a private caller that just chimed in. Good morning. How are you? Private caller dropped. Guess he didn't want to ask that question. The phone lines are open. We have Dr. Hill. I'm asking him some questions, and he's an OBGYN. I'm asking him some medical questions that deal with the things that you don't always get to ask. Ask a doctor, there's stuff that you need to know. I asked about ovulation. I want to ask you about painful sex.
Okay.
A lot of women have it.
Mm-hmm.
What causes it?
What?
What do you mean what?
Bad men.
There are a multitude of reasons that contribute to painful sex.
Okay.
One has to do with, number one, is there any foreplay taking place prior to the actual intercourse?
What does that have to do with the parts of the horizon?
Well, foreplay will cause the moisture and the lubrication of the vagina to occur.
Okay.
If you just go do it, then chances are it may be somewhat uncomfortable.
Okay.
Because there's no moisture lubrication that has developed. If you're menopausal, meaning your periods have stopped, and hence your body is no longer producing estrogen, then it's going to be painful. Okay, because estrogen makes the tissue moist and pliable. So if it's gone, then you may have painful sex if you have not been sexually active recently.
Okay.
If you've experienced sexual abuse, rape in the past, then those psychological aspects can make sex painful.
You haven't even got to a medical place yet.
those are the common things.
I did not realize that.
That can make sex painful. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So all that plays into... Before you even get to a medical reasoning and rationale of why this is happening,
sure.
It can all be in your head and in your mind and in your past.
It can, sure.
That's something I had no idea.
Sure.
What did you say, Diva? Did you not? You never heard that before? As much reading as you do?
I mean, no. I know those. I didn't think you were talking about medically painful sex. I mean, or not wanting to have sex. I can understand why a female would medically or psychologically have a problem with sex. Those reasons I can understand. Just not wanting to have sex, that I don't understand.
Now, there are women that don't want to have sex. That's true.
Yeah, there are those who don't want to have sex. A lot of times, as side effects of certain medications can cause that. A lot of your antidepressants have that as a side effect, decreased libido. For men, a lot of your antihypertensive medications can cause decreased libido or can cause impotence.
Right.
Yeah.
And Cialis. You know, we got Cialis, we got Viagra, got all these things that are on television. Do they work?
They say they work. I've never used them myself, but
okay.
I know people that ask me, can you write me some Viagra?
Okay.
So I guess it works.
And they're not blind yet. Hey, not so blind, Mike. How are you?
Oh.
Well, he's there. It wasn't a segue to him. I just wanted to pull him in. Good morning. Oh, he has nothing to say. It was not a slight against him. It was just, they said Viagra can make you go blind.
Uh-huh.
Have you not heard? I mean,
yeah, it's right on the disclaimer.
Did they say it? And you can't have an erection for more than 4 hours.
No, they said if you do, call your doctor.
Or call somebody.
No, that is actually a medical emergency. It's called priapism.
Really?
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, men with sickle cell disease are prone to that.
So what happens to you if that happens to you?
That can actually be a medical emergency.
You can die, can't you?
You're not going to die, but you can. Bad things can happen to your organ.
How do they treat you? The question.
Well, I believe what the urologist ends up doing is draining the blood from the penis. Is what they do.
Oh. I'm over here just shivering.
Everybody grin.
I thank you. I've always wondered that. They always tell you to call a doctor, but okay, what's the doctor going to do to you?
No, because
I
remember when I was a third year medical student, I came across a patient who had sickle cell disease and was having an attack of priapism, and it wasn't pleasant at all. He did not have a smile on his face. He just wants the damn thing to go away, and it won't.
I have a question for the doctor, because I've seen on YouTube this YouTube video where this woman just continuously had spontaneous orgasms. Is that without even having stimulation? She would just be sitting in her chair and she would have a spontaneous. Is that a medical condition, or is there something to be done about that?
I would say most likely. I'm sure with mind control, you can probably do that. That's probably doable. Just think about it like this: you can probably have a pleasant dream, which can subsequently cause an orgasm. Now, that's very possible. Did that answer your question?
She was continuously having them, no matter what she was doing. She was continuously
I saw
having...
that one too. She was an all day flux.
And she didn't even have sex.
But let me ask you this. Yeah. They say that women have a hard time climaxing. Is that true, or depends on the woman? And or what's going on here where women are not enjoying their husbands and their partners as they should?
I mean, it depends on a lot of things. It depends on a lot of times what your belief system is.
Okay. What is your belief system? What does that have to do with the person, right?
Well, you know, some, depending on how you were raised, you know, sex may only be for procreation. So if that's the case, then sex may be viewed as a job, a necessary evil. So if it's viewed as such, then you're probably less likely to get enjoyment out of sexual intercourse.
Wow, I never thought of it.
A lot of it
has to do with frame of thought. I'll give you an example. You know, couples that come to me with infertility issues. Okay, so now what you're talking about is a situation where they have been trying to get pregnant and have been unsuccessful. Now, I do my investigation, and let's say I find out it's because the woman is not ovulating. She may have what's called polycystic ovarian syndrome. Well, there are medications available that will cause her to ovulate. So now you're in a situation where now we have the woman ovulating, but as we spoke about in a prior segment, once you ovulate, there's a 48-hour window where pregnancy can occur. Okay? So now you're talking about a situation of timed intercourse. It's no longer spontaneous. Okay? So on some level, that can become a chore.
Yes, I guess so. That would be a chore.
Like a job.
So you would have your mind can't wrap around that.
Right. So see, basically you have to perform on demand. And that's not as easy as it may sound. Versus doing it when you feel it, in which case, if you're doing it when you feel it, generally speaking, in a year's time, you're going to get pregnant. But now if you're not ovulating regularly, now you're at a point where you're now ovulating through medication. Now you're talking about timed ovulation. So you know only during a certain period of time, you have to be there to have intercourse in order for pregnancy to occur.
Let me Is there anybody else have a question out there? Because I'm getting ready to change gears just a tad bit. I want to talk about some things that, some lies that women tell.
Okay.
Because since I know that we have a good male call-in audience,
mm-hmm.
and I'm quite sure we have a good male listening audience.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of things that women say to our men that are just not true.
Okay.
We get pregnant,
mm-hmm.
and we tell you that I'm on the pill.
Right.
But I come up pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I have a cold, and they gave me an antibiotic.
No. Now, that being said, there are some. There are two antibiotics that can cause the birth control pill not to be effective.
Okay.
Those are the antibiotics that are used for tuberculosis.
Okay.
Which is not a common pathological disease. But those antibiotics that are used for tuberculosis can cause birth control pills to be ineffective. But your run-of-the-mill amphicillin, amoxicillin aren't going to harm the.
The reason why I ask is because I know of people who have told their husbands and significant others that they were on the pill.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel pregnant. They say, well, you know, she had a cold and she took some antibiotics last month.
No.
And that's what happened. I'm like, no.
No,
she wanted to get pregnant by you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she even didn't take the pill.
If she had tuberculosis, I'm sure you would know it. I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's true.
Exactly.
But there are medications that are not, that will render the birth control pill ineffective.
I just told you.
There's two.
And in someone who has epilepsy,
okay.
one of the major medications for epilepsy will cause the low-dose birth control pill not to be effective. So whenever I have someone who has epilepsy who is taking Dilantin, which is a common medication for epilepsy, I have to put them on a birth control pill that contains a higher dose of estrogen and progesterone.
I want to get that one.
That's what
other,
what? Because I have epilepsy. So when I got pregnant with my daughter, I was on the pill. I did not know that I didn't bother to tell my doctor that I was epileptic and taking epilepsy medicine. I did not know that it was going to render. I didn't tell him. It was stupid, and I ended up getting pregnant.
How important is it that when you go to every physician that you go to, because now doctors are specialized, and not all records transfer.
Correct.
How important is it that we be honest with you, my OBGYN, my internist, my, you know, my endocrinologist, whatever I'm going to, how important is it I tell them all the medications I'm on, all that I'm doing, and all I've been diagnosed with?
Very important. Extremely important. Yeah.
because that can have a bearing on the outcome of whatever you're being treated for. Because had he known, or had he or she known you on X medication, that may have changed what they would have decided to put you on to treat you. So I'm depending on you to tell me everything that's going on, what your past medical history is, what medications you're on. I'm depending on you to tell me accurately so I can treat you accurately. So I can only treat you based on the information that you give me. If you don't give it to me, you can't expect to hold me liable.
It sort of reminds me,
I remember back when I was training, as a resident, I had a young lady come into the emergency room bleeding, and pregnancy test was positive, but we didn't see anything near. So she said, well, had a miscarriage, so left it at that. She kept popping back into the ER. Eventually, she popped back into another hospital, and what had happened, she had had an abortion, and they had put a hole in her uterus.
Ooh.
No one knew.
Oh.
Had we had known, it could have been treated a lot different. But by the time we found that information out, she needed to have a hysterectomy in order to resolve her bleeding problem, which had she been truthful up front, it could have been managed a lot differently. But we definitely need all the information that the patient has to give us.
Because a lot of times we're not forthcoming.
Yeah.
Or we think it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody else have any questions out there?
Yeah, it's kind of off. It's not off topic. It's kind of related.
Go ahead.
But it's in general about medical information privacy. Because what's becoming, there's a growing sentiment, especially now that I'm in libertarian country here in Texas, that what we're seeing more and more is doctors going off the grid so that they do not have to, put information into these databases that is now apparent that the government has access to, and God knows what they're going to use with that information for. And so, you know, more and more doctors are just going to cash businesses. But then the onus comes on the patient to, like you were talking about, making sure that they can provide an adequate and accurate medical history to the doctor so that they're treated well. I'm just curious if there's a better way of doing that than for doctors to go completely off the grid. Is there a way for patients to be the owners of their own medical information and share it with the doctor without it necessarily being, without that potential for their privacy to being violated by our own government and by insurance companies or so have you?
My personal response to that is this. I'll say this to everybody, just think about it for a second. I would be willing to bet you not a month goes by, but what do you hear? Target. Somebody tapped into their computer system. It happens once a month, so, you know, once it's electronic, in essence, anybody can have access to it, depending on how smart they are. So you can make an argument that, you know, when everything was in paper form, that was probably more secure on some level.
Absolutely.
Because you could always have access. You could always have your records copied and given to you. But now they're on computer. Essentially, anybody can hack into the system. I mean, it happens every day. And what do they tell you? Well, no one's password was retrieved. Then you find out that's not true. So, hey, that's sort of where we are.
Me personally, I don't have a problem. I know OSU is their medical records follow their, all of their medical records are computerized. The center, I have about 7 doctors and several different conditions they have to deal with.
that's easier for me, where I might forget something to tell this doctor, whereas now they could just look it up and see all that information.
I mean, it has. I think it has its advantages as well as its disadvantages. But as far as when you look at HIPAA, I mean, everybody wants to be so secure, and I don't want my husband, my kid, my mother, my father, my dog, my cat to know my medical business, which makes no sense to me. But, you know, all this privacy that we want, and then the privacy that we're going to get. Hey, have a seat, Doc. We got a guest that just ran into the studio. Glad to see him. Haven't seen him in a couple months. Mr. Gordon Gibson.
How's everybody?
How you doing? It's so very, very important that I don't think privacy is all that important when it comes to your health. You know, at one time you used to know why people died. Now they just say they died. I mean,
by the same token, I just had this happen to me. I get a medical supply.
Yeah.
And I get a call from the sales rep that says they're no longer giving their cash discount.
Okay.
So I get a letter from the company, so I quit and go to the company she recommends. I get a letter 3 days later from the original company saying, our sales reps left and took your medical information with them as a sales device for their new job. That bothers me.
Well, I mean, that's one thing, but it's another thing where, you know, hacking into, because when people hack into your medical files, well, for the most part, they're hacking in there for the simple reason of finding your birth and identity theft. What else could they be hacking in there? They want to know that you have lupus? What?
So they can sell you lupus products. Just like me with my medical device that I had. That's exactly what it was.
I don't know. That might have just been genius. They may be sitting in the backyard burning them. You know what I'm saying? When I leave a company and my company has done me wrong, for whatever, and I may take the files with me, I may do it not because of you, but because I believe I'm the one who secured the deal.
This sales rep called me and referred me to her new employer.
But what I'm saying is they may have called you to refer you to a new employer, but you don't know what the back office is going into. They might have been, you know, shiesty. They might have been sending you, you know, reusable pills. You know, I'm just saying.
But you want your medical records out there.
Hold on,
Tracy.
What'd you say, Mike?
I'm saying that this bothers me because you also have malicious, stupid hackers. Like, I'm going through something right now, which is in the world of medical reporting, is equivalent to somebody hacking into my credit report. It's time to renew my term life insurance with the corporation. 10 years is up. They're giving me a really hard time. I'm getting quotes from several companies, and they're all coming back with my two parents died prior to age 60, and they're claiming it comes from my doctor. My doctor says, no way, that's not what the report shows. But you see, this is medical information that's out there now. It's being shared. And it's erroneous. It's wrong. Now, this is going to end up costing me 5 times more per month for my term life insurance as a corporate officer than it not being out there. Who changed that record? Who gave him the authorization? If this does cost you, Tracy, because if you're a high life insurance risk, it could preclude you getting a job. It could preclude you, you end up paying more money for everything you do. Your medical records matter. They really need to be private as your credit report.
But do they need to be private from your family?
Yes. If you wish it so, yes. Do you tell your family what the balance is in your checkbook every day? Hell no.
Yeah, I try.
You try?
Well, they'll have sympathy on me.
Well, that's different.
Yeah, your medical records should be private to your family. I remember I had my ex-husband, my medical condition was used against me tried to be used against me during my divorce. And it ended up not mattering because my doctor shared medical information with my then husband. And so no, your medical records should not be shared with your family. But you also have...
I don't know.
Even in a case where your medical records are not computerized, you still have people in the office who are willing to pull records for money or whatever, because in the case, there's a case on this girl had got a venereal disease. Her boyfriend wanted to, or ex-boyfriend wanted to know what was going on. She wouldn't tell him. He called his other side piece to work in this facility, this medical facility. She pulled the medical record and told him what it was and put it on Facebook.
Yeah, but that's a rare case, and that was done by people who knew them, and it was trackable because you know the rest of the story. You're not even involved, I hope. And anyway, but you see, it's the whole big difference than some Russian Chechenian hacker going in and wiping out all the medical records from one of the major health insurance companies or altering them or stealing them, and then you get calls like Dix did with people trying to market to you.
Hey, I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends.
What they did to Dix is a
crime.
In
my case, my case, I can either I'm being rejected for life insurance or I'm being quoted high amount. So I just chose to be cremated. It's cheaper. So I'm not even dealing with it.
Okay.
But I also, I like the idea of my medical records. I stick with OSU Hospital. I like the idea that when I go see this doctor or that doctor, they can look in the computer and I don't have to keep repeating every single thing every single time.
Yeah, that's different. That's at the one facility.
But you know, Diva, I haven't had the will to implement it, but I've been recruited by some other people in the tech industry, entrepreneurial type that want to that wouldn't require you to do that. You could still keep it computerized, your computer records, but the thing is that you would just carry it with you when you go to the doctor. You could just give it to them, here's my medical records. But so there's a way of doing that so that you don't have to regurgitate every time.
Exactly.
Your medical history. And that's really what I would like to see. And I'm still on the fence about it because I think that it's really needed.
Is that Alex?
Excuse me?
See, here's the thing. I did that at one point. You have certain doctors who will not accept another doctor's medical records. You have...
They do it all the time. They
so
do it all the time when they look at your medical
records. So there's no point in carrying your medical records if you go to a different facility and they reject the medical records that you bring with you.
No, they're not rejecting the records. They're rejecting the findings. They will look at those records as history, but they will still do their own workup on you because if they don't, then you become their problem if something goes wrong and it's in the history and they didn't follow up on it with their own test results. That's
right.
What that's all about. But most doctors will accept the records. They just will look at them for historical value. They still will want to do their own workup, in which case then they add to your little portable device.
But
was that Alex saying that? Was that Alex saying that?
It may cost you more money if you went to one doctor, you had an MRI, CAT scan, had all this work done.
Well, hang on.
And you receive a diagnosis, and then you take your records to another doctor, and they're saying, well, we're still going to do more testing.
Yeah,
turns
they're going to do more testing, but they will accept the MRI because that's from a private testing agency that probably that doctor uses anyway or is recognized. What they won't accept is the other doctor's conclusion, but they will gladly review your x-rays. Because I know when my wife became disabled 25 years ago, we ran all over the state of Connecticut, up to New Hampshire, down to Long Island, pulling together x-rays and medical records for previous 20 years. And it was just, and then we had to return the stupid thing because there was no imaging that you could put on a thumb drive and carry in your pocket. Not only that, Diva, you want to see what the new doctor is put on your chip so you can see it and dispute it. Because I'm telling you, this has become really eye-opening how many clerical mistakes their staff make about what they put there, and then you're bound to that information.
That's true, but I'm talking about what chip you talking about, because
the thumb
mind
drive
my records
out of your chip.
I don't mind my records being on a computer, but being inside of me, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do
well,
that.
Well, it would make all the sense in the world if they were, because if they found your body and didn't know who you were or anything, they could scan for the chip and they could find out your identity and they could find out who to contact in case of emergency.
That's what DNA is for. It worked fine the old-fashioned way. DNA, dental records, and all the other stuff worked fine.
Yeah, but that's not fast enough if you're bleeding to death in an emergency room here and they don't know what blood type you are.
How is your death an emergency? If you died, you died. There is no emergency once you're dead.
Never.
So if it takes 7 days to 10 days to figure out who you are,
that's
fine with me.
That's if you're dead. That's if you're dead.
You
but if they can do something to intervene, but they don't dare because they don't know anything about you, they don't know who to call, they don't know to find out what your allergies are to specific medications.
That's why they have medical alert bracelets
and
information on you.
You know,
that's
and the medical alert bracelet is a paper and plastic version of the chip. Face it. It is.
Okay, so basically you
and anyone
you
could
don't
cut
mind.
That off your wrist and become you. That's more stealable than the chip.
So you don't mind them microchipping you with your medical information?
No, with my personal information, who I am. I don't mind that.
Mike.
Okay.
Blind Mike. This is Alabama.
Hey, sir. How are you, Alabama?
I think I agree with Diva, just for other reasons. I don't trust my information being somewhere where it can be accessed, or I don't trust somebody putting some foreign object in my body and just hoping that they don't their intentions are just, you know, it's dangerous. There's all types of things and freedoms that can be taken when you start centralizing all your information and it can be accessed through some computer chip, which
I
just don't trust that.
All your medical records are out there already
and
have been long before the age of computers through a central clearinghouse called the MIB that predates the credit reporting. That's how old it is. Medical Information Bureau. And when you apply for life insurance and stuff, all the companies put whatever you put down on that form. They send it over there, and they got more information on you than your doctor has. And
I understand that, but so what your argument is, okay, they got something, so let's just go ahead and give up other, you know, perceived freedoms and privacy.
I'm not all that sanguine with the chip being in me, but I'd rather see that chip in a ring or something rather than a medical alert bracelet. You know, you can
let me ask you this. So the same people who didn't tell us that they've been eavesdropping on our phone calls and conversations, the same people who have used the IRS to go after certain individuals that they don't like. You're going to let them put something in your body and trust that they don't have some technology. If you piss them off, they hit a button and bam, you just have a heart attack or cancer.
Not talking about that. I'm talking about carrying a chip, however you choose to do so, instead of a medical alert bracelet, which is limited information. You could carry a chip in that bracelet that would have all your medical history, all your x-rays and everything. But you'd want something maybe a little more different.
I'm talking about in your body. Now, as far as on a bracelet, that's different. But in your body, I'm not cool with that.
Yeah, it could just be on your body. It could be taped somewhere. You know, it could be on a band. It could be on your leg or whatever. But it would at least identify you and put all the same stuff, the medical alert bracelet, and who to contact, and who to contact in case of emergency and you're non-responsive. How do they get questions answered about, you know, treating you and everything else, especially if you're on vacation, you know, with terrorist attacks and everything else. I mean, you could be in another country. You could be on an airplane and have a heart attack, and the doctor on that plane would at least be able to access that and if there's a doctor, and they could treat you and all that. They would know all that. There's advantages.
Friends, here on WSLM AM 600, I thought I had a treat for you guys, but I can't get it to play. I got some rare footage of Prince recording Purple Rain in Milwaukee, and it is phenomenal. For those of us who are music fans, you will find it. It was a toe tapper. For those of you who lived during the era, it would have brought back memories to you. And I put it on my Facebook. I listened to it last night, and I thought I would just be able to transfer it over. And it looks like it doesn't want to come up. I just don't see it. I just don't get it. But it was, absolutely. It says watch rare footage, but it doesn't show me the link now.
Hmm.
And it's missing in action, but what a awesome, awesome, awesome time. I want to thank Dr. Hill from Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley for coming in and hanging out with us. Also, I want to thank all of you for the discussion and the conversation. Everyone's mics are on, and we've got about 20 minutes before we're at the end of the day. And is there anything that we needed to say that we didn't say today? Besides,
I don't think so. We pretty much went around the world.
Is he still giving out the baby bags for pregnant women?
Yes, he is. He is a nice designer baby bag.
Really? What type of designer?
Yes. I don't know. I don't know nothing about birthing no babies.
So do I have to be pregnant?
Yes, you have to be pregnant.
Do I just come in for the baby?
No, you have to be pregnant. He won't let you.
Oh, I found your answer, Trace.
What answer was that?
Updated July 15, 2014. After receiving a takedown request, we removed the embedded video.
Oh. But I played it last night.
What's the date today?
The 16th. I played it before 12 o'clock, too.
Okay.
As a public service, the Tracy Show, Tracy and Friends Show, wants to let all those gals out there who want one of those bags bad enough and need to be pregnant, let them know that Alex and Alabama are ready.
I don't think Alex
free baby bag.
No, listen. Alex is too far to get the baby bag.
And Alex's wife would probably have something to say about it.
Alex is too far to have a baby bag. Let me ask this. Do men influence their wives of what doctor they should go to?
No. I've never questioned my wife on her female doctor ever.
Why? Do you go with her?
No.
Have you ever been with her?
Nope.
Why not?
Even when she had her hysterectomy, I went with her when she had it, but all the preceding stuff, no, I never went with her.
Why not? I keep on asking why not, and you keep on telling me.
Because you don't do that.
Why not?
Why do you do that?
I don't know.
You got to go to work, for one thing.
So?
I mean, she don't go to the doctor with me either, unless it's a major thing. If it's a major thing, we go with each other, but if it's just like an annual checkup, no, we don't get involved in
that. I have a question.
It's a Vera Bradley.
My mother and my sister has a problem that I prefer to go to my oncology appointments by myself.
You're right, they have a problem. It's your own business. And they should respect that.
But hold on. Sometimes we are a little bit too close to my business and not letting family members know what's going on in your health. Don't you think? I'm going to put it this way. I don't need to be with anyone who I can't share my medical history with.
It's not that it's my business and it's private for me. It's just that I need to focus on myself, and I'm the type of person where I'm going to focus on everybody else and everybody else's feelings in that moment. So I just, for me, it's better for me to just go by myself. Now, I'm about to start chemotherapy, so yes, I'm going to need them, especially my sister who's a nurse, to help me with that and to go in and make the decision about which chemotherapy would be more appropriate because I know nothing about that. But as far as the initial diagnosis, as far as the follow-ups and whatever we're going on, I had preferred to be by myself, and they were having a hard time understanding that. But I just, for me, it wasn't about it's my business. It was just I needed to focus on me and my feelings and not focus on someone else's feelings.
Right. So the better situation is they're there for you, and you'll let them know when you need them.
No, they're there for you, but if you're around people that you can't share what's going on with you, then you need to regroup with whom you're around.
Sometimes.
No, like my mother, I don't.
Hold on, Diva. Hold on, Diva. What were you saying, Mike?
I'm just thinking about my own situation. My wife's going through enough. Sometimes I just go alone because. Whatever it is, I want to hear it first so I have time to sort through it. She doesn't have to worry about things. That's all.
But isn't that being selfish?
No, it's being caring.
No.
Yeah, I agree with Mike. It's let me process the information before I bring it to you.
Exactly.
It's a man thing. It's a male thing.
Yeah.
It's even a male thing. I have the same problem.
Yeah.
But that's not a problem. I'm saying you can process it. But there are things that go on with you. You have to go independently. But to make it to where everything is private. So if your doctor, I mean, if you don't have your husband and or your wife down where they can find out what's going on with you, isn't that a sign of distrust?
Yeah, I would say that
is.
I mean, to actually
I would say
totally
that
shut
is.
Them out.
But I
would
but
never
I would
do
say
I would,
from my own from my,
Viva,
from
Viva,
my own
can you,
experience.
Can you say one at a time? What were you saying, this fix?
Yeah, I would never shut my wife totally out, but
I mean,
she
doesn't have to be the babysitter and go with you.
Right.
But I'm saying, when we look at the privacy laws, when we look at, if you don't put them down, they will not know.
You're right. And it's the same way with even banking. My wife, I, you know, we share passwords and all kinds of stuff with different accounts, and she's got an account that she's the primary on. I got locked out of it because I screwed up the password. They made her call and reset the password. I could
Absolutely.
Not, even though my name's on the account. Because it was her login, she had to reset the login. I mean, some of this stuff is just insane.
And so what I'm saying, I'm just saying that we have become so private in our, for especially for married people, we have become so private in what we do. You know, we have, for children, a child can actually say when they get, I think, to 16, that they don't want their parents to know what's going on with them.
I don't know what year you...
Does that make sense?
I don't know what age you can become an emancipated minor.
We're not talking about emancipation. We're just talking about going to the doctor.
Oh, no. 18.
About what?
No.
Well, like grammar school, they started birth control for these kids. So.
I mean, your child
what?
Can go to the doctor.
Because I can't.
And your child can go to the doctor, see the doctor, and then the doctor tell the parent, I can't tell you.
No way.
Really, no way.
No way.
I get out.
But I'm still paying the bill.
The doctor ain't got to tell me nothing. I'm going to get out of my child because you're going to tell me what's
no,
going on.
No, because neither one of my children went into a doctor's examining room without a parent.
But that was yesterday.
Until they were 18.
We're talking about now. Your child can go get an abortion today. And them not tell you that she had
one. I knew that.
The same thing was with birth control, with what's going on with them.
Knew,
they
I
can
knew
do
that.
That.
I knew that.
Okay,
yes,
but
does
that
make
thing,
sense?
And this is,
no.
This is why I agree with that in certain ways, because when I was 17, my mother refused to put me on birth control. So I had made it upon myself to make an appointment at Planned Parenthood to get myself on birth control. Now, if I did not do that decision in the relationship that I was in, and I was out, and I did not have a relationship with Christ, I'm more than likely would have had a baby at a younger age because my mother refused to do what was right.
Why do you think that? Diva, why was it that your mother refused to do what was right? Why was you being on birth control the right thing to do?
My mother felt that putting her children on birth control would push them to want to have sex, but she failed to realize that I was dating a boy, eventually I was going to have sex with him. Already had that in my mind. But she was trying to prevent me from having sex, but I had already made my mind that, yeah, I was going to have sex with my boyfriend. So I put myself on birth control at that time. I was 17, was able to make an appointment at Planned Parenthood.
So, I mean, you didn't need to go on birth control.
Why didn't I? I was planning on having sex with my boyfriend. That was the truth of it.
And the truth of the matter is, did you not have a relationship where she could talk to you out of and restraint?
No, my mother's thing was, my mother was old school like her mother. You keep your legs closed and that be that. And you better
but
not come
you think
home
that was
no
a good
baby.
Thing to do?
At the time of being 17, and going through, you know, peer pressure and stuff and living, sometimes kids do stupid stuff. They don't listen to their parents. But at least I was smart enough to get, at least I was smart enough to make a decision that I was not going to be a teen mom. And even if my mom couldn't understand the fact that I had a boyfriend and that, yes,
I was going to have sex with him eventually. I made a smart decision to put myself on birth control so that I would not end up a statistic.
Now, I just got a text from... Oh, yeah, who's that?
This is Alex.
Go ahead, Alex.
My take on it is, for the most part, I actually agree with Diva, but to take it a little further, I think that if at any moment, if a person, at whatever age they are, if they can in any way legally be held accountable for their actions, whereas like if a minor does something, like even if they're 16 or 17 or whatever, if they say commit a crime and they could be charged as an adult, then I don't see how we can be okay with putting that kind of accountability on them, but then not letting them make their own choices. So I think that if someone is of legal age or countenance where the system can actually, charge them as adults in the court of law and things like that for certain things, then they should have the ability to make decisions like that, including getting birth control.
Yeah,
she didn't like it. My mother was, she was not happy that I was able to get birth control pill without her permission. But I just had to tell her, like, look, I'm just trying to be responsible. I didn't want to be a teen mom. But I wanted to have sex with my boyfriend, but I didn't want to be a teen mom.
See, and it seems to me as a woman, now I can't speak authoritatively, but I'll try to cross my mind over in that realm. I can understand you wanting to get on birth control to protect yourself. Good job, Diva. But also, I wouldn't tell Bubba that, and I'd make sure that Bubba showed up with a condom every time, and I wanted to see how responsible he was to the relationship and how much he respected me and cared for me enough to plan.
Oh, I had some of those. I had some of those too. Planned Parenthood. When they give you contraception, they also give you condoms and spermicide and all that.
But that was all you're doing. What part in it did he take? He just showed up for the goodies.
Right. I couldn't be responsible for him. I had to be responsible for myself.
But you make him responsible to the relationship by making him pull his weight. Just to test what kind of a man
he is. You can't make someone else be responsible. You have to be. My mom always taught us, you have to be responsible for you.
But see, let me say this. Hold on. Listen, guys. I want to say this because I just got a text, and the text said, you know, what I'm missing is, there are wives and girlfriends who don't want their boyfriends and their husbands to know that they either have had an abortion or have an STD, which makes sense. But what I'm saying is, if you don't have a good relationship, then that's why I don't want you to know. And if I have an STD and it didn't come from you, then there's a problem with my trust with you and my relationship anyhow, which is a problem overall.
That's
Does
true.
That make sense? And what
that
I'm saying
sense.
Is, and so when it talks about, even with your daughter, if you have a relationship with your daughter, and remember we had a male panel in here one day, and it was Bob and Dwayne, I think
me
and Fix, and
Mark.
Mm-hmm. They were males in here, and they were talking about would they allow their daughters to go on birth control, and the men were on the absolutely not thing. But it all depends on the relationship that you have with your child and with your daughter. And what we're missing is, I know that you have to have a place where kids can go to get birth control because they have no restraint. But if you have a relationship with your daughter in the right way, you're more apt to make them not become promiscuous than for them to.
It's a proven fact that daughters that have a strong relationship with their father are less likely to be promiscuous than those who
do not. It's a proven fact.
And so
daddies for your daughters.
Except for her father's a pastor. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's not true. I know plenty of girls who
Plenty of girls who have a father in their home, but you don't know plenty of girls who have a strong relationship with their fathers because
that's
can't
right.
You can't judge a person relationship by the outside. The only way that you can see the fruit from the tree. And what I'm saying is children, young ladies who have a strong relationship with their father, you would not know that unless you were inside that home living with them.
Okay,
Hold on, whoa, Tracy.
Yeah, I didn't just take my daughter to school, drop her off, and just pay for all the stuff she wants to. We did stuff together. We went fishing. We went dirt biking together. We did things.
Yeah.
We didn't just, you know, wasn't just daddy's little girl and princess thing. We actually had a relationship growing up.
Right. My daughter and I built a race car together, and we raced it together.
I mean, you have to, and when I say relationship, we're talking about that. You have to know a lot. You got to have when things go wrong, you look at that boy that you're getting ready to dance with or getting ready to have sex with, and you see your father's face of disappointment. You say, well, if I do this, my dad will be so disgusted with me, and I never want to see him that disgusted with me again. I can't do that.
Yeah. I took her to drag races. I took her to Martin Short shows. I took her to wrestling. We actually did things. Besides just, you know, dinner, movie.
That was probably why at 17 I didn't mind having sex with my boyfriend, because I didn't see my father anywhere in the equation at all.
That's what we're saying. And we understand, it's not a disparity against children who didn't have their fathers around, because we understand it.
But it's something the society needs to understand, and men need to work on.
Because
men need to understand this is a male problem.
And it's the same thing with strong men who have a strong relationship with their son.
Hold on, family.
When you have a strong relationship with your son and you teach them the right way, that you don't abuse women. See your mom, see your sisters. You don't teach them to go out and sow their royal oats. Go ahead, Stanley.
Wait a minute. Abuse your... Wait a minute. Come on. First of all, we got to understand, 2014, I see more women, a lot of women, using their sexuality to have basically opportunity for their own thing. So don't start saying to your son that, oh, babe, go see a girl and everything and treat her all well and this and give her all the world. And don't feel like next thing you know she played you. And that's one thing
that
a lot of women do. Okay, that's the one thing a lot of women do. Wait a minute. That's a lot of thing a lot of women do. Use their sexuality to have...
Stanley, listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth. You are right about women using their sexuality. You are right about women not being with who they're supposed to be. I said it is important for a man, to, when he has a child, to man up and become that father to those children, teaching them the right way of getting things done. You don't abuse and manipulate women. And young ladies, you are to keep your legs closed until someone comes by and buys the whole cow. I'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
The love from a father to his daughter is the front line protection.
Protection of what, Diva? You make it sound like men are evil. What protection, Diva?
Let me finish. If a father is showing his daughter that true unconditional love and they have that relationship, every guy she comes across, she's going to compare to her father. So
okay.
That's
if all he wants to do is get in her
okay.
Yeah.
But that doesn't
matter.
Go ahead, Diva.
She's going to make bad and poor choices.
Yeah,
and
but Diva, you make
show
it
my
so wait,
growing
Diva.
Up, any man that gives a damn about you is not going to be preoccupied with getting in your pants. If that's all
okay,
he wants
but,
to be
but
in
but did
class.
You wait, wait, but
Period.
Did you teach
that's
her
daughter?
Wait, did wait. I want to ask the question. I want to ask the question to the person who's a father. Did you teach your daughter also that she has to bring something to get a great man? Or you just taught her that she's a great person? Wait, I want to ask the question to her father, because a lot of fathers forget to ask that, to do that to their daughter also. A lot of fathers forget to ask to say to daughter, yes, you should be treated well, but you got to bring something to the table also, girl. You can't
well,
just do it because you're just pretty
them.
And every. No, I am talking about
Stanley,
that because a lot of women don't
that.
Have that. Diva,
that's
I am talking about
saying.
Diva. I am talking about that because a lot of women
this
don't
is,
have
this
that.
This conversation somewhere else. That's not what we were talking about.
I'm asking the question
that's,
to the guy
that's
who's a father who said,
yeah,
"I'm not
like going to
teach my daughter whatever." She said, "I'm not going to teach my daughter this and that." And the man's going to do that. I'm asking him. As a father,
no.
did you teach your daughter what she needs to bring to a man?
You know what, Stanley?
Have a
you, know what? You know what, Stanley? Let me tell you, I'm going to answer that right now. I'm going to answer that real straight to the point. I didn't have to because I did my part. My wife was able to do it that part for us.
Oh, okay. In that case, that's different. If you're saying your wife did she, her part and everything, but you understand that there's some women that think that they're just princesses like you, a father, and they don't think that they have nothing to bring to the relationship? You understand that as a man. You know that happens.
Because, Stanley, here's the thing. When you have, that's, it all goes back to what I said. The relationship a girl has with her father is the relationship she's going to have to expect, that she's going to expect with every man that she comes across. If she has a relationship where her father treats her like a princess, because I have a cousin whose
mm-hmm.
father treated her like a princess. She said she would never be with any man who treated her less than how her father treated her.
Well, see, that's
okay.
the problem, though.
I have
that's
no
the problem. That's the problem. That's the problem because these fathers are 70 years old, got retirement, got money. They can buy cars, do things for their daughters. But when you date a 22-year-old guy just graduated from college, he got to come out there and produce doctor money or he's not treating you like your father can.
No,
that's
yeah,
not
no,
fair.
And a lot of women, and all, I'm sorry to say, a lot of women, I'm sorry, are maybe thinking in their dad said, you're a princess and everything, but the dad forgot to say, if you want to still be a princess, you got to bring something to the game. Because as a, if I get a son, I'm going to tell him the truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat it that all women are princesses. They're not. And I'm not going to tell my dad, my son and everything that he doesn't need to bring something. That's the part that a lot of fathers forget to say to their daughter
it wasn't,
also.
It wasn't, but, that's the thing, you know, Stanley. It's about getting along, you know,
right.
the relationship. That's why I said we went dirt biking. We went. I love four-wheelers and going outside and trails and stuff. And I bought her a little one. We went out together all the time.
Most
girls that get treated like that, Eric, don't wind up on the stripper pole. You go in that strip
exactly.
club. 90% of those women in that strip club. Daddy wasn't close.
Don't have they
yeah,
have daddy.
I didn't just buy her diamonds and jewelry and stuff like that all the long time.
And I'm sure I'm sure you thought about responsibility and accountability. That's another thing a lot of women don't have. I'm sure you thought of that and say, hey, don't if you put yourself in a situation, you are responsible. Don't blame it on the guy. Don't blame it on this. Don't blame it on that.
But see, that's what you didn't hear what Tracy was saying, Tracy.
And that's why she's not attracted
good,
to Alabama. I want to let you know. She ain't attracted to them simps, them thirsty simps.
Just because the father is in the home
that's it, though.
Does not mean he has a good relationship with his child because some fathers will ruin their daughters. I'm having
You got older guys, older generation guys that were simps themselves when they were young, get older. Tell that daughter, if a man can't afford to take care of you and give you a lifestyle I gave you, then you don't need to be with him.
Yeah,
that's true.
But that's a problem. That's a problem when you're talking about a guy that's 22 years old just getting out of college.
Yeah.
Can't get a job.
And like the guy is supposed to give you the world just because you're a woman. The guy's not supposed to give you the world just because you're a woman. You're supposed to bring what you have to bring as a woman and say, I am good. This is what I have to give. You're supposed to be a giver. You're not supposed to just think, oh, I'm just a woman. You should bring everything that you got
but
as a man.
That is a virtuous. That's what the virtuous woman did. She did real estate. She sold. She made money. She did things. She brought to the house. She didn't take. She
exactly.
didn't just say, okay, where your paycheck at? Give it.
Exactly. Exactly. And a lot of women forgot about that. A lot of women, I'm hearing Tracy saying that men this. Oh, you better teach your son not to take advantage of a woman. Really? Really?
Stanley, what you are failing to realize is a lot of these messed up women that you see that you're coming across are messed up for a reason. Most females who are selfish, self-absorbent, hoes, not caring, there is a root to that problem. And the root
it comes from not dating the good guys, dating those thug, stupid niggas.
Exactly. It comes from a woman approaching you and a good person comes in front of their face. It's come from another approaching and saying, that guy doesn't have swag, that guy doesn't have this, but I'll give the thug who's treating me like crap and still going
because,
out with
because, again,
exactly.
the
you
first
know,
line
I'm like, hey.
Of defense for any young girl is her father. How her father treats her is how she's going to take that into every relationship. So if her father abandoned her, she's going to think that it's okay for this guy to treat her like crap, to keep her in and out of a poor relationship. If her father does what Eric does, is responsible and teaches her, like, this is how a man is supposed to teach a woman, and then the mother teaches her the other side that you as a female are supposed to be a lady and is what you bring to your husband's table, that's different. But there are a lot of females that you come across that are so screwed up, you cannot expect for them to operate like normal women or like how you want them.
I'm sorry to say,
there's a lot of mother who doesn't do that job. There's a lot of mother who tells their daughter, you go get everything that you own, girl. You better go get
because
everything
they
that
never
you
had
you pay whatever you go. Go get it. He
you
never
look,
teaches their daughter the other
look,
part, ever.
When you look into the history, family history, I guarantee you that mother was been her father, was being raised by a super poor mother and never had anything. I'm not making an excuse.
How you get screwed up is immaterial. After that, once you know that you're screwed up, you choose to stay screwed up. My wife was the
there
product of an abusive relationship. Her father was a New York City cop and a drunk. He threw her down a flight of stairs and left her down there for 5 hours. That's why she's disabled today. Her mother was Roman Catholic and wouldn't divorce the jerk because they didn't divorce in those days. My wife is one of the most well-adjusted, balanced, kind, giving people you'd ever meet because she made the conscious decision to not let her childhood screw her up. It's a choice.
But the fact
Eva.
Of the matter is,
it's
not
a choice. It's a,
enough.
And if you can't make the choice to become a decent person, maybe you deserve what you get in, out
not
there in the daily. Not you. I'm
not
talking about the general
is
you.
As strong.
It's not a question of strength. It's a question of self-respect.
It's a question of choice. I agree with you. It's a question
choice.
Of choice. It's a choice.
It is a question of choice. If
my father was
my
an alcoholic.
Story,
he used to beat my mother.
Story,
I was raised
not,
in a violent home. I've never put my hands on another person in anger ever in my life.
Well, let me ask you guys. Don't you guys think that it's a little bit more statistically higher? You have a very high chance. If your father, you come up in a poor community, raised by a single mom or food stamps or whatever, don't have a lot of money, dad is beat his wife or whatever, left the mom, left with kids, you're probably not going to be as well adjusted. As there are exceptions, but statistically,
exactly.
Women like that statistically do wind up being messed up in the head, and wind up, a lot of them
exactly.
wind up being strippers.
Because
they do.
Choose not to change.
They end up being strippers.
They end up having multiple children. They end up with screwed up thoughts.
What you got to do is
just simply say, "Oh, it's a choice."
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes when
know.
Your environment
right.
is so screwed up, you have no options. You have no one to turn to.
Diva, how can you say you? Diva, how can you say you have no example when there's books? When we live in the information technology, we live that is more information, more psychologists, more books, more radio shows, more things that ever there will ever be in the generation before
that is now.
We have more information
that
than it. So you have
now.
No excuse. You can't tell me
that
I don't know.
Now. But the women that you are dealing with are women your age group did not have all of back.
They had Phil Donahue on TV
and
back
so
then too,
with,
and they had
you are dealing with
Oprah
someone
25
who has dealt
years
with
30 ago.
Plus years of issues.
Yeah. Okay.
You want them to because now we're in an information technology world. All of a sudden, overcome that. It takes a lot to overcome.
Well, hold on.
That.
Because we're in an information technology world, now you're being bombarded with World Star Hip Hop, Loving Hip Hop. All these different genres and all this other stuff that can pull you down. So I'm not one for excuses, but I do think that when a person, to say that a person's environment has nothing to do with their, how they are when they're older, is a bit, I think you're not really looking at it. I mean, come on, if you come from a certain circumstance, it can't affect you as a person.
It does, it can. I'm not saying you can't overcome. I'm one to believe you can overcome obstacles. But
you can't overcome.
The statistics are against you, and the odds are against you of doing that if you come up in a bad situation.
You can't overcome, but if you don't have resources, outlets, help, I'm amazed that I was never turned to drugs. My life story, I could write a book. You'd be like, how the hell? There's no way you should still be sitting here and never turn a day in your life to alcohol or drugs because of what I went through coming up. Be here
Kiva, congratulations.
I am an exception. There are so many women in my hood that I look back and I'm like, but the reason why I got help is because one person stepped me and saw that I had potential and told my mother, this is what's going to happen. You need to do this. That doesn't always happen in the hood.
Because you're that one person for the other people.
Where you don't talk about it, you don't believe it, you don't accept it, you don't claim it.
Diva,
that's what happens in the hood.
Diva, you're looking for something to do. Go become that one person to three or four other people and pass it on.
What do you think my nonprofit is about?
I don't know what it's about.
My nonprofit is about spreading awareness of mental illness and erasing the stigma of mental illness. Because especially within the black community, that's something you don't talk about. That is something we don't talk about. That is something we don't believe in. Your kid can be so depressed, crying in their room, and their mother, their father will not take them to seek. Their child is wilding out, acting out. Oh, that's just Tyrone. That's just how he is. No, your child needs help. But the thing is, black people, there's a stigma. And people don't talk about mental illness because there's a stigma. How many times have you, off the cuff, just called somebody crazy? That word carries a lot of power. So people don't really talk about it. And that's what we're dealing with here. When you look in the hood, you see people bobbing, shooting, and man, they have a lack of life. For life, it's unbelievable. When I went back home and I saw the hopelessness, it's so different. Within 7 years, it changed. It's like a ghost town. I cannot believe it. But when you live, I have to travel. I was taking my sister to work. She's a nurse. Her job is in inner city. I lived down the suburbs for the past 8 years, never traveled outside the suburbs. I forgot what it was like in the inner city. It is harsh out there. It is hard out there. These people are living completely different lives than me. And I was like, wow, I can't believe it. That used to be me. That used to
now,
be us.
Well, hold on, Adiva. Now, this is the thing, though. Now, if you're in your 30s and you're in that environment still, you made some choices. If you're 14, probably not. That's got to do with your parents' choices. But when you're a grown woman or man, living on minimum wage or doing something, staying in a community, poor, then you made some choices that created your reality. When you're a child, it's more of your environment was given to you. When you're older, you chose not to get your work. You chose to have 4 and 5 kids.
See,
you chose to screw your credit up. You chose to close the few gates that you have in the hood. You chose all the clothes to close those up and be stuck with where you are, and you still want to complain.
This is the thing that people fail to realize, and this is why we need to focus a lot on mental illness. Just because you see that person walking and talking and they're not talking to themselves and acting crazy does not mean that there is something internally going on with them.
There are a lot of people walking around that are can go out, they're not going to kill nobody, they're not on any drugs, not any taking anything to try to make themselves normal, so to speak, normal with in quotations. But at the same time, they have mental imbalances and issues. I've dated some women with some mental issues that need help. I have. But at the same time, they function. They're okay. I mean, I had a girl
right,
I couldn't even raise my voice to, or she thought I was trying to rape her. I'm like, what are you talking about? We're just having a discussion.
They can only function to a certain point. That's what I'm trying to get at. They can only function to a certain point. People think, oh, it's just a choice. No, that's why the biggest
claim for disability that you can have is mental illness than a physical disability. Because once your mind is screwed up, once you're going through that, especially depression, you can't even remember what you had the day before. So how the heck you going to work? Whereas if you have a missing limb, you may not be able to get up on a stepladder. You may not be able to stand, but you can still remember and you can function within that job capacity. A lot of people fail to realize what mental illness is. It doesn't, and that's why my organization is called Can You See Me? And the reason why I named it Can You See Me is because you can't really see who's dealing with mental illness. You can't really pinpoint it. Just because some girl is out in a club and she talking to this baller, wants that baller, think about it. What is causing her to be like that? What is causing her to act like that?
Women acquiesce to power, period. That don't make her mentally ill.
That's not necessarily true. That is not necessarily true. It's not. It's about security more so than just powerful men. If you know,
well, look, you can get security. Hold on. You can get security from a guy that cut hair. You can get security from a barber. You're not gonna go to the club in a dress and know that there's 18 different other women out there in that club. You got your butt out. You trying to get in VIP. Get bottles popped.
Get
phone up. Because she ain't just trying to get love.
I guarantee you she got daddy issues. I guarantee you.
Of course she got daddy issues.
So I guess 90% of the women have daddy issues, Diva. Because what he's describing is this. You're going to see the woman is going to be all beautiful. She's going to try to get all the attention the whole night during the club, get all guys peeing her drinks and everything and saying, no, acting like provocatively in front of all the men. Trying to get all the men to pay her drink, pay this, and that's the same girl that's going to come to you and say, boo-hoo-hoo, I can't find a man.
I guarantee you that's the girl who has daddy issues. The reason why
in that case, 91% of you women have daddy issues. Because I'm sorry, when you go to clubs and everybody's 90% of women have that. All right,
Not just that, 90% of women just don't have no damn social skills. If a guy walks up to them, they got to act stuck up. They got to be a bitch.
Exactly.
They can't even have a conversation because they don't have nothing here of substance to talk about because they don't know nothing. That's the truth. They just look good.
That's true. But men don't either. I'm sorry. I come across men who come up to me all
the time. Society does not coddle men. The society does not coddle men like they coddle women.
Exactly.
If you were to come up to me, you and I probably could have a conversation. Most men, they talk about the dumbest darn thing. They bring up the stupidest thing. Yes,
Diva,
I'm going to keep
you're an exceptional.
Diva,
I'm not saying me and you disagree on a lot of stuff. But you're exceptional as far as world issues and most women. If you catch them in the club and you start talking to them about quantum physics and science, and they don't have nothing to say. They don't know what the hell you're talking about. You know that. Men have to be like that because we don't have the government on our side like women do.
We don't have anything to protect us. We do stupid things. And women, you're covered with no responsibility. When we come with facts and telling you, how come I don't have a man? And we tell you, how come you don't have a man? You say, girl, you know, this guy, you don't know what you're talking about. We told you why. We're telling you why.
I can't help it if I go out to the club because I'm looking good. The guys want to buy me drinks. I owe you nothing.
No. If a guy is coming to a club, if you're looking good at the club, why don't you just say no when a guy is giving you drinks?
Why
can't you just say no? Because you're using him of asking that because you have money and you could tell him, until you get to know me, until I'm worth
The real reason she won't be, but Diva will never admit this. The real reason Diva goes to the club, she likes the ego boost of guys sweating her in her little tight dress. She loves it. Every woman does. Yeah.
Real women.
Because you just said it, Diva. You don't even know the guy. You don't even know the guy. Wait, Diva. Go ahead.
I reject guys all the time when I go to the club, and yes, they think I'm stuck up, but it has nothing to do with that.
But Diva, if a guy comes to you,
but
if a guy comes to you and say, "Do you want to buy me a drink?" How come you say no?
Hold on. Check this out now.
A woman to go out on a Saturday morning, get her hair done, get her nails done, go buy a dress, get a massage, get her skin, shave her legs, do all that. Walk in the club and don't want to talk to nobody. Bull.
Exactly.
You want attention. You want attention from men.
Because I'm going for myself. I did it
no,
all
you
the
ain't.
Time. I'm
no, you ain't.
Why don't you go home? When you at the house, you comfortable.
You ain't wearing a, you ain't dressed up
like
that. But when you go to the club, you dress
like
up. Because in our society,
you
women want attention.
I'm not trying to be there for you to pick me up. And y'all know darn well that most men at the club ain't just trying to talk. They trying to pick her up.
Who cares?
Who cares what they
you're,
what cares? What they're thinking?
We're going to
what
go
are
to
you
me.
We're not
going
what
to
you're
to you for basically look at you like a trophy, the girl.
If
you
really
you know,
got it on.
Did buy the fat chick next to me a drink. Why you come bother me? Because you're trying to pick me up. I'm not dumb. I know what you want from me. So you know what?
So
oh,
you take
you
his drink under
me?
False
so,
pretense.
So what? You use the guy because he wants to. You know what
you want. Return, that's on you.
Okay, so you use the guy because you know what he wants. So you have a sir. Basically, you're acting like a prostitute. We have to pay you, so we have something. Of course, you are, Tracy. You're telling me that you know a guy is coming to you with money. A guy is coming to you with money that you don't even
know.
A guy is coming to you with money that you don't even know, and you say yes. You have no respect of yourself and saying, you know what, I'm a lady, and you're not going to buy me the drinks at the first time.
You're not going to think of me. The only thing you're thinking of is getting in between my legs. So
yes, but that doesn't give you the right
to
take the money of a guy. That doesn't give you the right
to
taking a man. Wait, wait. That doesn't give me. Let me get something straight, Diva. Every man that looks at you wants to go in between your legs.
Let him talk, Diva.
Would you ask a fat chick, can you buy her a drink?
He don't like the fat chick. Let him go.
Because you want to get
Diva, you do not understand. Every man that looks at you when you look good do want to sleep with you. So let's get over that fact.
I know
so
that.
You're not stupid enough with that. Wait, let me finish. So you are using money of another guy instead of saying being smart and saying, you know what, I'm a quality woman. No, I'm not going
to
take your drink. You know what? Let's
I
talk. Let's get
you
know it. You can say no. You just said it. You said it. I quote. Diva, I'm quoting what you said. You said, and I quote. You said a guy comes with money and buys me a drink, and what could I say? I can't say no.
For me to do is save my
you can say no. You can say no, Diva. Can't you say no? Diva, can't you say no? You can't say no?
You
cannot say no, Diva?
That's our conversation. You're losing something to get what you want, but you couldn't get it.
Oh, okay. So we have to pay you to get something that we want.
What'd you say, Diva?
What I said was, you cannot get mad because you use something to get what you
what
want.
What did we use? What did
we
use?
Want.
What did we use? What did we use, Diva?
You buying a drink.
We didn't use nothing, Diva. We come to you and everything. We pay you a drink. And you could come very easily and say, no, you don't have to pay me a drink.
Look, I don't go to the club unless I – look, I go to the club, I got $40, $50 in my pocket because I ain't going to be buying all these drinks. I'm buying myself
a
drink.
I
come talk to you. If I talk to you and we talk for 15 minutes, then I might buy you a drink because we got some sort of connection. But I'm not just going to buy you a drink because you got a fat ass and a pretty face. I'm not doing
that. Or the worst, he comes to you, you have drinks, and the girl comes to you and say, oh, can you buy me? Can I get a drink off of you?
Do that. Alabama, do not some men do that, buy drinks just to get the girls.
Yeah, because they don't have confidence.
They don't have confidence.
Hold on, you know why they don't got confidence?
So
because
the
they, hold on, let me finish. Because they walked up to a woman and they tried to just be themselves when they were young, and the woman dissed them and made them feel small.
Thank you.
And so they was like, I have no way to talk to this woman because she got an attitude. I looked at her, but she rolled her eyes. Let me buy her a drink. That's a
thank
good
you.
Icebreaker.
Exactly.
I mean, I know she wants a drink because she's drinking one already.
All right. Then how come they don't buy the fat, ugly chicks drinks then?
Because they don't want them.
They don't want them.
Okay,
what's the point?
Okay.
What's the point? They don't want the fat, ugly chick.
But that fat, ugly chick, you might have a connection with.
And we don't care.
You
don't
have
want
I'm not, you're not going to have no connection
I'm
with
sorry.
A fat, ugly chick.
We can have a
I'm
connection
not,
with
a
fat, ugly chick.
You
don't
want
to
drink from every guy you
offer.
You're being unrealistic. You tell somebody on the Ricky Lake show, remember, in the 90s, in the 90s, they used
to
be like, you know what, my girlfriend's fat. My girlfriend's fat and out of control. You should love her anyway. Uh-oh.
It's not going to happen that way.
Diva, you can take a drink from any guy no matter what he looks like. If a guy looks If a guy looks all whipped out and everything else, and he looks like he's
you
having trouble, you
still
have to drink from him?
And I'm still going to talk to him, and I'm going to take his
no,
drink.
You're still
going to
take the drink.
Oh.
No.
You're
yeah.
still going to take the
you
drink.
You know, women are delusional, y'all. Women are delusional, fellas. They want you. She
I
just sat up here and said,
drink.
You could probably have a connection with a fat, ugly woman. Look at what you do. By definition, I can't have a connection with you because you don't. Look, women need to understand, if you're going to get a fish, you need to put some bait on the hook.
Yeah.
If you fat and ugly, you ain't finna get no man. I'm sorry. Get your ass in the gym and work
and
out.
And work out.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So
we're not gonna get it, man.
But we're not talking. We're talking about Stanley's upsetness that beautiful women can use their beauty to get what they want.
And I'm upset about
that
because
dude is upset
because
men can use their money because they can buy drinks to get what they want. So you both got your little end of the argument. Okay,
exactly.
Diva, you're just as upset because he says a guy buys a drink.
Hey, I'm not upset. I'm upset with the guys that do it. I think they're tricks. I can't stand to see it done.
I'm not upset that a guy.
I know you ain't because you're the one getting the drink. But you're upset.
You're the one getting the drink. You're not the one who's getting the guy after saying, man, you know what? I spent $200 tonight. And I ain't getting
the one.
They
make it all for me.
$200, man.
Look here, my homeboy, hold up. Diva,
okay.
My homeboy walked up to this chick. Chick looked nice. He probably could have got the chick. He gave her ass $100, didn't even know her. She looked at him like, what's this for? He did that twice. The third time she asked him for it, he got mad. That's what I'm talking about, tricks. That's
exactly.
A trick. He's scared.
Okay.
He's scared. And the guy's a nice looking tall guy. He could probably get the girl,
me.
But he's scared. He ain't got no confidence.
Okay.
Yeah, he's scared.
Alabama.
Hand me $100. Because in my head, I'm like, hold up. First of all, I'm getting offended. Like, what do you want from me? Secondly, no, I don't think so. You have your $100 back.
Wait a minute now, Diva. Why would you take
the
drink?
That should have been your first
Diva.
Here's your $100 back. I'm not sure.
Why don't you say it with the drink, though, Diva? Why don't you say it with the drink?
That conversation.
Why would you? Why don't you say that with the drink, though, Diva?
Why don't you buy your first drink
for
yourself and sit there and if he offers the drinks, they already got one, talk to him a little bit and see whether or not you want to even take it from him.
Now, see, this, Mike, see, that's what I'm talking about. When a woman does that, she's exceptional. When a woman says, you know what, no thank you, we can talk, but I'm going to buy my own drink. That's
thank you.
I like that. That's the one that's going to get wiped. She's
going to
get wiped up. She's going to get wiped up real quick.
Exactly.
Yep.
He's going to get wiped
right.
up because the guy's going to be like, did you
you're,
see what the girl did?
Right.
What the girl
you're
did?
Right.
I'm telling
you're
you,
right.
and gave her
right.
That's
the problem.
Right.
That's, Miss
Diva, right.
there's
you're
a reason 70%. There's a women. There's a reason three-fourths of women are single. There is a reason.
And black men, we don't have that problem. We don't have 70% of black men who are not married. Trust me, no. 70% of black women are not married, not black men. We don't have that problem.
You're just as superficial because you won't even.
Well,
talk
what are we
to
superficial? What are we super? What are we?
Wait! Why are we superficial?
Why are we superficial?
You won't.
Because what?
Because what?
We just told you we prefer to have a woman who buys her own drinks and she's willing to talk to you. And the way
you
take the game up to the next match, Diva,
you say,
I've already got a drink. Here's how you take it up to the next level, Diva. You say to the guy, thank you for the offer. I've already got a drink. I'll tell you what, though. When I finish this drink, if you're still having a conversation with me, I might let you buy me the next one. That's
how
that's handled.
Oh, you
have it. That's game right there.
Right
that's game right there. Hold on, Diva. Hold on, Diva. 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 You need to honor the game. You need to honor the game that was just given to you. That's the problem.
That's a touchdown. That's a touchdown.
Diva, you need to honor the game. When a woman says that, that guy's going to remember her.
That ain't no game.
I'm telling you, if a woman tells you that, Diva, I'm telling you, if a woman tells you that, not only this guy is going to go to his boys and tell them that, all the boys are going to say, no, it can't be.
Whatever.
All the guys
are going to
be like, no.
That's a grown woman right there. Say something like that. That's a grown woman. That's a grown woman.
I'm already looking at it like this. I'm in a bar. I'm not trying to pick up no dude. I'm not trying to take him home.
Oh, okay. But you take the drink of the person, even though you're not trying to pick
finish.
Him up.
Oh, hold on, Diva. You didn't tell the whole story. I went and spent all day getting ready. It took me 6 hours to get ready to come to this club. I'm in a bar.
Sorry,
I got my hair done. I spent $400 a day just to come to this club and turn down men.
Yeah, but I'm saving $8.
And
I could have had it home for free.
Hold on.
Hey, go inside the club for free. I forgot that
now
one.
Now you're making assumptions. Because first off, I will never take 6 hours to get ready. Secondly, won't spend no $400 just to go to a nightclub. Thirdly, I'm not going there for just to pick up to turn down men. I'm going there to hang out and enjoy myself. Now, I'll go up to the bar with the intention of buying my own drink. Dudes,
that's
say,
not what you've been saying
off.
For a last.
But why do you call it?
You
it's called a social setting.
No,
oh, it's called a social setting. If you go to a club, you're going to socialize with other people. If you don't want to do it, stay your ass at home. Get your girls to come over. Get some liquor. Sit around, play some music, and dance with your girls at the house. It's a lot cheaper.
No,
less, you
got
to worry about no men.
No, so
nothing. But
you
want
to
go and you want to be around these men. Don't tell me you don't. That's why. Hold on. That's why y'all have these bachelor parties. You talk to a male stripper, you'll see how women really are. Because, see, that's what get me about women. When they get with these bachelorette parties, they cut their food. The truth comes out.
Pack mentality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I agree with her. It's a social place. What's the point? Diva, what is the point of you? Diva, are you going
to
answer the question? What is the point of Diva? Diva, are you going to answer the question? What's the point of you going out with a club, dressing up and this and that, if you're not there to socialize? What's the point?
First off, I don't even leave.
No, I'm asking you the point. Not first off, what is the point of you,
D-Lo,
a woman, to go to that place? It's a social place. I'm not talking. It's a social place. It's a social place. And what's the point? What's the point? What's the point?
I don't even go to the damn grocery store without making sure I look good, okay?
Okay, but we're not talking about the grocery store. We're talking about the club. We're not talking about the grocery store.
You're
going to
look a little different at the club than you're going to look at the grocery store.
You asked me why would I do that when I go to the club. I do that all the time. So it has
no, we're asking you what's the point. No, you let me repeat the question. What is the point
of
you going out?
Are you talking about women in general?
I'm talking about
what's the point of going to the club? Damn all this other stuff. What's the point of going to the club in a social setting?
I'm talking about the club. I'm talking about the club. I'm telling you, you're going to a social place. Diva, do you know that the club is a social place? Do you agree that a club is a social place? Yes or no?
It's
called a lounge.
Okay, so what's the point of you going out to a social place if you don't want to talk to anybody? What's the point?
It's not about what it's a social place.
You just said to me that it is
Stanley,
a social place. What is the point of you going out there if you don't want to talk to anybody?
Stanley,
what's
if you're
the point?
Ask me a question, refuse to let me answer it, then I'm just gonna
go ahead.
Talk.
Before you get into it, goodbye, everyone. I gotta go. The real world is calling me right now. Okay, thank you, everyone. Take care.
All right, you, Mike.
Be kind to each other.
Here it is, Stanley. Here's the real deal. It ain't that she don't want to socialize with nobody. She just don't want to socialize with you. Maybe.
No. She doesn't.
Good point, Diva. But guess what? That's why when a guy goes to the club, you need to dress. You need to have your hair together. You need to get your hair cut. You need to smell good. You need to maximize what you have as a man. Great. But women need to do the same damn thing. Not just at the club either.
Yeah, and brush your teeth.
Yeah. Look good. If you look good as a man, a lot of guys walk around with white with tees and pants hanging off their ass, and they wonder why a guy like me come up there and I might get the woman because I'm dressed nice. I got to spend some money and time
and
effort on how I look. There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you the one thing that women will look at, two things, actually.
Shoes.
And we look at that will reject a man right off the bat, his shoes and his teeth. Because they don't matter what you got on. But if your shoes is jacked up, then that's it.
I'm going to tell you a little difference with us, though. Know what's different between us and women, though? A guy can come up not as dressed as nice, but if he know how to talk, he can get a woman. I know guys fat and out of shape, ain't got no, they can't dress. They get dimes. They get all the bad women. Ain't got the best job. All the time. All the time. Because women, y'all emotional. Y'all don't see, all you got to do,
listen,
from somebody that knows. All you got to do is exhibit confidence as a man and know how to talk to a woman, get her to laugh, and you got her. I'm telling you.
If you look a toe up in the flow up, and she look like a
I didn't say toe up. I didn't say toe up, but he ain't doggone fabby. He ain't just fly. He might have on some, he going to look real, but he going to just look that bad, but he going to just be the flyest guy to go.
If he look clean,
I mean, he might have on a T-shirt and jeans. T-shirt, jeans, and sneakers.
Now,
if
he got a great
you.
Personality, of course you're going to end up with a bad chick.
That's what I'm saying. Now you get where I'm coming from. See, men, we got an advantage in that area.
Yes.
Women don't. A woman can be, if she ain't got physicality, I don't give a damn how she talk. She can
that's
be somebody, hey, man, we're going to go out here and start this business. We're going to make millions. I believe in you. She ain't finna get that man if it's another chick that look better than most of the time. She just ain't finna do it. Unless they have been dating since high school
and
she gained weight or something.
Have to, and then you wonder why women have to pull out all the stops.
Can we pull out all what?
We have to pull out all the stops. Well, some women have to pull out all the stops to get that particular guy that they're looking for. They will reject 10 till they get to that guy that they want and they have in their head. That's what Stan's not getting. Just because he approaches a female and he buys her a drink, oh, she's supposed to be into you. No, it doesn't. No, no, it doesn't work like that.
I hate when guys do that. I hate when guys go to the club, spend hundreds of dollars dating chicks. Then by the time you buy a couple of drinks that night, meet up with her, take her on a date, you're out by damn near $150, and then she don't like you. Or now she tell you she got a boyfriend. A lot of women will let you go out. Well, a lot of women will take your drinks, even go out and eat with you, and got a man.
Yeah. But
they selfish like that.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I wouldn't say they're selfish like that. I would say they're not getting something from that man. And then it is kind of selfish because they're using you to get. It's cheating, basically. And men do it, too. That's how that happens. But we're talking about single
people. It depends now. You got a lot of guys. I know some guys, and I have done this before. Told a girl, a dude was stupid enough. She told the dude, knew she was talking to me, knew we was together. The dude kept talking about he want to do this, want to do that. I said, look, that nigga want to give you some wine, go pick it up. Let's drink it. We about to go on a event. We about to go on a trip. It was her birthday. He knew. She went, met up with the dude 10 minutes later, come back with two grand big bottles of expensive $50 wine. We drunk it up. We had a good little time. He's a fool, though. He's a fool, though, because she my woman. I'm like, you dummy. You ain't finna get her. Go ahead, do what you do. Spend your money.
That's what I'm saying about men. Y'all got to be smarter. Don't spend your money all like that. Don't spend your money. If you're just being a nice guy, because I've come across nice guys who just wanted to buy me a drink. Those are the ones I tend to sit and have a conversation with, and I'll tell them, like, look, I'm just here kicking it, having a good time, just like to dance, and they're cool. Let me buy you another drink. Now, them other ones that just come up, hey, ma, or hey, how are you? You know, let me get you a drink. It's like something I can tell right off the bat. You're just trying to get what's between my legs. Yeah, I'm going to take your drink because you're dumb enough to try to buy me with a drink, and I'm going to be about my business. That you think, that's what ticks me off, that you think so little of me, that you think that
well,
a drink is going to get you between my legs.
He don't know you, Diva. He don't know you.
Well,
why women get upset when
train?
A guy comes up to you? Yeah, he probably want to seek with you because he don't know you as a person. He don't know your character. All he know is he like what he see. Women need to accept that because y'all do the same thing. If a man look good, let me tell you another thing. They had a study. They had a study a while ago. Women go off looks just as much as men do. They just don't admit it. That's a myth.
What?
If a man look good and dress nice and driving like he's successful, confident, tall, nice looking. Man, these women, look, it's easy for them guys. It's real easy.
Okay, here's the thing. I'm an exception because I passed up a former NFL Super Bowl champion for a regular guy.
You know how many women have passed up football players? You know how many football players here in Atlanta?
If you see this guy, if you saw this guy, and then you see the guy that I'm with, because he's kind of a redneck. Well, we ain't together no more. The guy that I was with, you'd be like, how the heck you as a woman in your caliber pass up this guy for this guy? Some women don't walk from looks. Some women are superficial.
I'm going to put it like this. Women, a nice-looking guy, a guy being nice-looking, it's like a woman having a good job. It's not the main thing, but it's up there. That's all I'm going to say. Don't lie and act like, oh, well, he can be ugly. It's not about,
That's, for a lot of women, that is, but there are.
I mean, if a woman's beautiful, but she don't got a good job, guys will work with that. If she working at a cheap place.
No, because when I come from, all that mattered was she had a fat ass. And it didn't matter how jacked up she looked. Didn't matter if she had a job or not. them dudes was on it because I could not.
I mean, why you just? I just said the same thing. You know why? Because men don't look to women to provide for them like what they're not supposed to. Women look to men to provide. So that is probably the priority is what you have and what you've accomplished more so than with a woman. A woman, I date a woman. I'm educated. I make pretty good money. I would date a woman that make like, you know, 25. But I don't care what she look like, how she talk, what's her mindset, what type of mother she going to be for my kids, can she cook? It's a lot of things I'm going to look at. How is she mentally, spiritually? That's what I look at first before I even start worrying about, okay, well, dang, man, I mean, she need to make more than 25,000. It would be nice if she made 125, but, hey, she make 25. But she's beautiful.
And what if she made nothing? What if she made nothing, but she brought everything to the table?
Look, I done went to foreign countries and met women that I knew if I got with them and they came to America, they have no marketable skills in this country, and they don't even speak the English. They only speak the language. I dated women in Ethiopia.
I'm talking about American woman. A sister.
It don't know because the answer is yes. We'll take them because if you'll go to Brazil and get a chick that works in a place in Brazil that probably come over here and go out to start from scratch, then of course you'll date a chick over here that don't have a job. But she ain't finna stay. I'm gonna tell you one thing. She ain't finna be sitting at the house and spending my money either. She gonna do something.
Well, somebody need to have a conversation with my ex-husband.
Oh, well, you ain't gonna be sitting at no house. Now I ain't with that, but at first, if you come from a foreign country or you got unemployed, but you're looking for a job, you're unemployed. I've met nice, good quality women in Atlanta that are unemployed, but they got careers. I was pharmaceutical sales rep. I knew one girl made $100,000, but she was in between jobs, beautiful. We was cool. I didn't care about her being unemployed at the time.
I had a friend who told me he couldn't be with this girl because she was in between jobs. I said,
"Well, that's a weak man.
She's a good girl. She got a good head on her shoulders.
That's a weak man.
And you mean to tell me?" He's confusing me because I would never date him. We've been friends for 10, almost 11 years. He couldn't understand why we could never get together because to look at him, you'd think, oh, he a well-put-together brother. Girls be wanting after him, but I got to know him as a friend, and I said, no, you ain't for me. He is the type of person where he has this girl who is supportive of his business. I mean, she helps him with it. I used to be his administrative assistant, whatever, office manager, whatever. I helped him put this business together, but I moved here. Now he has her doing it. She likes him. He's finding every excuse and justification as to why they can't be together, but he's leading her on.
There's more to it than that, though.
And I'm like, I don't understand.
There's more to it. It's something. It's something about her, something else that he doesn't like. It's just sound. I can hear that just from you talk. You ain't just going to find that's a little penny any reason. You ain't going to not date a
pretty
woman.
She's a pretty girl. No, she's a
pretty
girl.
If she in between jobs, there is another reason. And when women, I'm going to tell you something about women. Y'all will say a woman is pretty, and that woman will be okay to that guy. I'm just telling you how it is.
No.
I've seen women. Hold on. I've watched shows. Me and my girl are watching movies.
No,
she'll be like,
she's
a pretty girl. I'm like, she all right. I mean, she okay. She ain't all that.
Okay.
I'm just telling
you. Let me ask you something. Do you think that I am attractive by my picture?
I mean, you're a cute girl. I'll give you that.
Oh, I'm a cute girl. I'll give you that. Oh, forget you then.
Well, what are you talking about?
No. Okay.
What you want me to say? What you want to hear?
A guy.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You proved my point about women and attention.
I was only joking. Calm down. I care less if you thought I was ugly. I don't care. But the thing about it is, a guy passed me up and wanted to talk to her. He thought she was more attractive than me. Didn't make me mad at all.
Him though.
It
should make you mad because he probably did you a favor. But at the same time, if he chose her, it's just every.
I don't see how he doesn't think she's attractive.
Hold on, Diva. We was out one time, one of my homeboys, and this chick bought him a drink, and the chick looked like something off of done King magazine. If you ever seen King magazine, that's the black centerfold, nice body, pretty. This girl bought him a pitcher of beer. Didn't know him from Adam's house. Now the woman bought it. She was sitting over there by herself. And it was this other woman who was cute too. She was pretty, but she wasn't as pretty. He ain't even studying the real nice-looking one. He wanted to talk to the other one. I don't know. Everybody are wired. I know guys that just like fat women. They can't. They. I'm like, man, something wrong with you in the head. That's what I look at it as. But if that's what you like, that's what you like. But the guy that I'm talking about, this guy is built like a NFL wide receiver. 6'4", 6'3", 6'4", 215, ripped up, low body fat, dark skin, white teeth. Women love him. He the same one that gave that girl $100. Very low confidence. But that's all I'm saying. When it comes to like certain things,
that's
just,
Alabama. I was at one of my popular eatery at a sidewalk area.
Yes, popular. Wait a minute. Did you say popular eatery?
Eatery, yes.
Really?
So there was this young Ethiopian. Let's see, was he? Yeah, he was Ethiopian. Yeah, he was from Ethiopia, a young man. He's about 24 years old. He works for Boeing. He's a... he's one of the warplane system designers. And he's sitting there reading. He had talked to us, myself, for a while. Then he went back to his table. He said he'd get back to what he was doing. So here come down the street about five or six Ethiopian girls, young girls. And I've been to the country, so I knew they were. And two of them were just gorgeous. I even had to look at them. And they walked by and they
looked. They distinct.
Uh-huh.
You could tell an
Ethiopian.
Very... Once you've been to that country, you can always notice an Ethiopian.
But check this out. Out of all the men, young men that were sitting there, you know, forget about me, they concentrated on him, trying to get his attention, walked away as they were walking down the sidewalk, looking over their shoulders. One of them turned around and and so on. He recognized her, and she came back, and they, you know, exchanged some words. But they was only looking for their own kind in that particular case. So that was an experience.
That's it, though. A lot of times they come over here, the Africans come over here, and they see it clear of Americans. And I think it's a mistake. I think you can intermingle. I think just women need to understand when you date a African man, they're a little jealous. So you got to
be
careful.
Oh, my God. No.
They will
and
kill you. African brother
Ethiopian
will kill you. If you act, you look cheat on an African dude. Cheat on him, see what he do to you.
I have a friend, a very good friend, and I know him for a long time. We tried dating. He's from Sierra Leone. And he's been in the States since, for a long time, but his mentality, his personality is just so.
They have
like,
a more ownership.
Yeah.
They look at you like they own you,
yes,
almost. Like if you don't do what they want, who is this? Who is this guy? Who is this nigga?
Yes.
Who is this nigga you talking to? Oh yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you. Let me tell you Alabama. Let me tell you. I was working right now. I don't really pay attention to guys because I always think they want something from me. That's just me.
See that?
That's
bad
just how
attitude.
Work out.
Go ahead. Bad
but
attitude.
No, I don't show it. I just don't show it.
Okay.
I'm very careful in how
see,
I
but
walk.
You black. If you show it in your face, you black.
Okay,
what you say.
Okay. But he comes in. This is how we met. He comes into my workplace. He's asking me how to get a job there. So I explained it to him. And I said, okay, well, you have to go fill an application such and such. And I left it at that. Turns out, he was mad because I did not pick up on the signals that he was trying to hit on me. He was like, you just treated me cold. You just treated me. I was like, how did I treat you like cold? You asked me a question.
Well, that's
no,
different.
You were supposed
that's...
to walk over.
I'm saying once you date an African, y'all in a committed relationship, they tend
to get very jealous.
If you show, you got guy friends, you got to cut them niggas loose, you can barely speak to them. I'm dead serious.
Yes. I know. That's why we did not end up being in a relationship because we went on one date and the guy looked at me and he was not happy. And my guy friend had texted me and he's like, who is that? I'm like, wait a minute, hold that now. And I'm the type of person, I'm like, wait a minute, you are not my man. This is my friend and I'm going to text and you can't answer. So we didn't.
They're insecure, though. They're real insecure. They don't have that mindset of, you know what, I'm
man,
just...
but he's fine, though. He has one fine chocolate.
But that's
somebody.
The thing, though. Like, they don't... It's a little different. Just like in that culture, that women are very, submissive to the men. They just are. Culturally, they are. But a lot of times when it comes to the men, they're more dominant. They're more controlling. They're more – but they love American women. I don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're thinking. I'm like, okay, well, you know, these sisters over here going to get with you now. So you
right,
because you know.
he's complaining he has a problem with finding a girlfriend. I said, well, one, you don't date outside. He doesn't believe in dating outside of his race. I said, but he loves American women. I said, well, black women, we not going to sit there and let you just talk to us any or act any kind of way. It's just not going to happen. So either you're going to have to get with someone of your own kind, meaning someone from the app, but he don't
well,
want someone
well,
from
I'm going to tell you now, I think that's not good because I do think you need to let a man be a man. I think that's where a lot of
no,
sisters lose is they don't let a man be a man. Like, let him be a man. Let him make choices and decisions. Don't you
oh,
just
perfect.
Feel like you – because you got a lot of women you can date and you'll feel like they run the relationship. You feel like, hey, man, she just trying to run everything, just trying to make all the – every time something happens, it's got to be her way. So
here's the thing that I've learned. When it comes to white men, white women and black men, they're very submissive. They can be very submissive to black men. When it comes to white women and white men, heck no. They carry their man's balls in their pocketbooks, pockets, wherever. Oh my gosh. I couldn't believe it. The one thing about I noticed about sisters from where I'm from is we don't show, we may not show out in public, but when we get home, we're going to show out, we might emasculate you. But the women where I live now, the white women,
but see,
oh,
that's
they
the
don't
thing,
care.
Though. Like, if you don't
they
emasculate,
don't
listen, this is what women don't get. There is a treasure in not emasculating that man. They don't know that, but there is something that will be more fulfilling in that relationship if
but
you don't tear that man down and make him feel less than. Because he
okay,
don't have your
so
gift.
Let me ask you.
He don't have your gift, but you try just because you can do a little of what he can do, you want to try to belittle him as a male. Like, no, there are things that he brings to the table that you can't bring, and so women don't get that. They just
I am
they
now,
feel like
I am now single because it was reversed for us. He couldn't handle me not. Well, you said I was dramatic, but it wasn't dramatic, it was other issues. But he couldn't handle me constantly building him up when it came to his business. He couldn't handle me wanting to support him. He couldn't handle the fact that when I came into town, I made sure he had a meal every day because he worked. He got off of work. He couldn't handle the fact that I was washing his dishes, washing his clothes.
Well, something wrong with him in the head, but that wasn't a normal guy.
Yes. Something's wrong with him in the head.
Yeah,
because
that's a mental issue.
That doesn't make any sense to me. I'm like that, and I'm like, I cannot grasp why, what happened. Like he started when I started doing that because I'm like, okay, we're getting married, we're gonna move in, so these are the things I need to do. He started pulling back. I'm like, now, I'm cooking you a meal every day. I'm washing your clothes, cleaning your house. I'm willing to help you with your business. And I told him, like, look, I'll be your secretary. I'll handle the paperwork. That's what I do. That's on my do. I was an office manager.
Well, see, women, that's one of the things women don't like to hear. But if a woman comes in and be a secretary, men don't like paperwork. I hate paperwork. But if you're going to do business and be successful, you got to know, you got to do paperwork. You got to keep records. You got to keep receipts.
Right.
You got to do all that little stuff. And a man hate that stuff. We just big picture people. We want the big picture. What's the main? What do we have to get done?
And it bothers me because he's so disorganized. Like, papers everywhere. And I'm like, just let me handle it. I will do this for you. No problem. This is what I do. No, this fool start growing distant.
Well, Diva, it ain't like it's hard for you to get a man. You're pretty
yeah,
woman.
It is.
So
no, it
no
is.
Man. Diva, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to like
it.
Hold on, let me finish this. You're not going to like what I'm about to say. If you are not talking and you just quiet, and if that guy wants you to talk, then talk. But if when y'all having a disagreement, if you just say, I'm going to take 5 minutes, I'm not going to say a word, I'm going to let him talk, get all his points across, I'm going to repeat what he has to say to me, and then I'm going to say what I have to say, and then I'm going to get all I have to get off my chest, and that's it. And y'all solve them conflicts, you won't have a problem. You get a man because you're a nice looking
girl. That's the thing. You don't find – it's hard to find a guy who's reasonable in their arguments, especially black men. I'm telling you, they're screwed.
Well,
just as
no, it's reasonable by your standards, Diva. Reasonable.
Okay,
I'm sure you probably look at what I say sometime and be like, well, Bill, you don't know – well, not Bill. Alabama,
no.
You don't know
okay.
what you're talking about.
It's different because I'm not with you. It's different. I'm not with you. But him, here it is. Okay.
Well, y'all probably argue about the other stuff. I ain't finna argue with you.
No.
We ain't arguing about politics.
No, listen. I'm going to give you an idea. He's having a hard day. Okay, let me tell you. I visited him. He had a hard day at work. Now, I know from experience with this man, when he don't want to talk, he don't want to talk. I'm going to let him be. So I decided to give him space. I'm going to leave the house. Okay, what time are you going to bed? Okay,
yeah, I love that.
See you later. Blah, 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 blah. Dude, he couldn't appreciate that.
I love space. I love it. I think
okay,
it helps the relationship. You have to be able to breathe in a relationship. You can't just
exactly.
smother somebody every day, all day.
Exactly. And that doesn't bother me.
You were incompatible with him. That's what it sounds like.
That's what I'm starting to see. I'm starting to see that we were incompatible. Once I started really acting like a woman should, because we
you
had
can leave. Look, in my relationship, you can leave for a week. We may talk two or three times. If I love you and I trust you, you can leave. I know you ain't cheating on me. I know you my woman. I ain't doing nothing. I'm just chilling. I'm just enjoying time to myself. So when I get back around you, I miss you, and I remember why it is we fell in love in the first place.
No, I do require communication, at least a text let me know, hey.
Okay, we can talk once a day. We can talk once a day, but I'm not going to sit on the phone like we did when we first met. I'm not going to do that every day, all day. I hate that.
I get that, especially if you work. No, I get that. But I do require, even if you get off of work and you've had a long day, I require a text to say, hey, I work, I'm not in the mood to talk, but good night. That's fine for me. I can deal with that because I get that you work and I get you tired.
No, I just hate when somebody noticed any and every, and I'm talking about somebody in particular, noticed everything I didn't do. If she goes out of town for like 4 days, she got three. I called her the first day, the second day. Third day, I didn't call. The fourth day, on the way back, when she on the highway, she calling me going off. You didn't call me none yesterday. You don't care about me. Like, well, I've been talking to you for years.
How long were y'all together?
Off and on for years. So she should have known. This dude, it ain't that. That's just his style. Every time I go out of town, he's like that.
That sound like some insecurity issues with her. And if she was with her female, that sound like something that was put in her ear.
Well, not just that, but my thing is, if I go out of town with the fellas and we going out of town, we going out to clubs having fun, I don't want to be bothered with you. Call me. I'll call you in the morning.
I don't want to be bothered with your girl, though.
No, when I say I won't be bothered, I don't want you upset. No, women get upset. And what's his name? Kevin Hart said this. He's like, women get upset when they hear you on the phone. They call you. Oh, man, having a great time. Hey, baby, how you doing? Women get mad.
Oh, I don't.
Women get upset. Like, this girl would get upset if she thought I had a good time. I don't like that
really?
Type of stuff. Yeah, like she wouldn't really get upset. Like, it wouldn't be a knockdown drag out. But she, oh, you're having a good little time, huh? She'll have something to say. Like, she ain't going to just let you just go out of town and get have a blast. I want to have a blast. We want to go out, get drunk, have fun, whatever, go to the strip club, whatever we're going
to
do.
Wait, why would you want to go to a strip club? You got I would have a problem with.
We go to strip club. We go to strip club. Look, in Atlanta. Have you ever been to Atlanta?
No, but I'd be like, I'll be your stripper. Why can't I?
Nah, Diva. You just don't understand.
Why you gotta go